You will only find it in the North West. So as part of that culture, we want to promote that. The 2010 road shows in the Bujanala district, working very well with the district municipality and other four local municipalities in taking 2010 to the people. One of the interesting things that we've been engaging is the bike rally. You know, nowadays bikes are a popular culture that is emerging in our country, and we've been engaging with them to have a bike rally where they will promote going in different districts in the province. One of the interesting members of that bike rally is MEC for Roads and Transport, Bob Vilagas. So we are spearheading that process in promoting. The Peace Cup, Bafana Bafana in Norway, this is one of the tests that we will be doing in making sure that we are ready. It will also give us an opportunity to look at where are the gaps, because we want to do it as a proper dry run. On that way, we are launching it tomorrow in Joburg. It's a partnership between SAFA, Royal Bafokeng, as part of, and we'll also use it as basically to say to the people of Northwest, to the people of Bujanala district, and the Royal Bafokeng people, here is the stadium, here is the game we are going to play. But we are also going to have the British and the Irish Lions tour around May as part of also testing our readiness. We have what we have started 3 years ago as a district mayoral cup. It will also continue this year. But one of the critical things that has really mobilized our people in terms of really saying that this thing is happening, it was through the public participation process of the bylaws. Because people started to engage with the process to know what is happening and raise their issues around that. And we think it was one of the key issues. Another issue that we are doing as part of promoting the culture for people to attend the games is hosting of major PSL games around the Olympia Park. We Platinum Stars and Orlando Pirates will be playing their PSL games, I think it's next week, at Olympia Park. That one of the key tournament that we've been doing as part working with Royal Bafokeng is what we call the King's Cup. It also starts from all the 31 villages of Bafokeng where the teams plays, and really it has motivated youngsters in terms of promoting the Confederation Cup. We also come with a good concept of a Confed Cup car wash. What we have done is to say that we have about 5 countries that will be playing in our city. What we do is to call upon people to bring their cars, where you'll have Team Spain washing 20 cars, Team Egypt wearing their T-shirt, Team New Zealand, Bafana Bafana. So it creates a hype, you know, and in that we bring commercial partners to promote their products and so forth. But also we are using it because one of the challenges has been how to access these tickets. Our people are not used. They know very well that if you want a ticket, you go to Compo Ticket, we have ShopRite, we have PP Garage, or you come 35 minutes before the game, you know, and you buy a ticket. So it's a new concept, and critical to that is that we need to promote it, to say this is the process, this is what you do, you can go to F&B. So in that car wash, we call all these commercial, especially F&B, to come and really promote ticket sales. We always do blitz at taxi rank, but we're also going to do public viewing in villages of Bafokeng, Bakgatla, and Mathupe, because we believe that is critical, taking the games to the people. And one of the critical things that has been raised is that this is an African World Cup, it's an African Confederation Cup, and we've been working together with the government of Botswana through the High Commissioner, the Temopelwa, and the Botswana Football Association, including our province. We have had workshops and seminars. We're in the process of doing awareness campaign, the marketing of the games, the ticket sales promotion, as I indicated earlier. And we're also using the regional soccer tournament, including teams from Botswana, Lesotho, and Swaziland. And what we have done with the Platinum Stars is to say, as part of promoting the Confederation Cup in 2010, that we integrate the FCC and the FWC into Platinum Stars marketing program as a team that is based in the province. in terms of city beautification, we're in the process of making sure that the main four entrances from Mahalis, from Tswane, Swartruggens, they're beautified, that when you enter the Pompela, it tells you that you are in the city that is hosting. The billboard advertising, myself and Rick, know we always argue about the taxi rank. I always say it's the most beautiful taxi rank, and you'll always say it's the dirtiest taxi rank in the country. But we're in the process of making sure that we renovated the first phase and the second phase during the 2010 streetlight advertising and cleaning campaigns. These are some of the streetlight advertising. When you enter into Pukeng, the road that takes you to Sun City, that says, that creates that hype for people to remember that we are a host city. I think around issues of legacy, one of the key critical issues that we have looked at is the volunteer program. For us, it's about capacity building. It's about also building a pool of young professionals that even in future, we can still utilize them when we have major tournaments around the province and around cities. We are looking at 858 volunteers that are required for the Comfort Cup. We've been in the process of interviews from the 9th to the 21st of February. There were about 1,200 candidates that were shortlisted, and then clearly the training will start on the 13th to the 15th, finishing up on the 19th of April in training all these volunteers. Also, from an infrastructure point of view, we are building a new visitors information center. When you enter Rustenburg, Nelson Mandela Drive, there's a new information center that will give people information around the province, Bojanala, and any other interesting issues that relates to 2010. We're building a new waste management plant. We're in the process of building a training venue at Muruleng, the convention of Matale Middle School into a sports museum. And Bafokeng has built a new sports complex. Those are some of the legacy infrastructure that we say after 2010, as part of really promoting sports, these are some of the infrastructure that will be there that people can utilize. I think finally we are saying that people will come into our city, Europeans, South Americans, Asian, and so forth, but critical to that will be issues of safety and security. The safety and security pillar meets monthly. It includes all the justice cluster. It has done the process of interview marshals that will be utilized as stewards. We have also nominated 10 firefighters to go with training at Sasol around issues of asthma technician and biological and chemical mass destruction. As part of reinforcing our emergency and disaster management, the municipality, we have purchased a truck and four firefighter truck worth about 2.8 million. We are renovating the disaster management center. We have included CCTV cameras. We are now really moving it towards the road that takes you to the stadium end to end for. And there are some of the critical roads that we feel from a traffic conjunction that we need to put traffic lights and a special cause for offenders, because we know that if we get the English people to be based in the Netherlands, to be based in our city during the World Cup, you will need that court to deal with offenders. I think, Chair, in conclusion, is that there has been funding. The issue of funding is that from the government has contributed 192, the Bafokeng has contributed 140. We have a shortfall of 141 million, which we're engaging the province in relief, making sure that they come to our rescue around that, and the total is around 473. But that doesn't mean that the stadium is not going to be, yes. And then the other challenge is around roads infrastructure, because those are some of the critical roads that will assist us in making sure that there's proper flow of traffic. But we're also engaging Department of Transport, we're also engaging our provincial department and the city and Bafokeng in addressing those issues. And Chair, we believe that working together we can do more, and we've started to do that as four critical stakeholders in making sure that come next week, this is how the stadium will look. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Royal Bafokeng. I did this in doing copies.
Okay.
Thank you, Royal Bafokeng. Comrade, let's just get clarity from a very good, better presentation than the other presentation that used to come from Rathenberg. This is good. Not that others are not good, but it shows that really you move faster and you are way closer to almost 98%. It means you are already running on conclusion to the preparations. Real Bafokeng, it's very impressive. When you started, it was something like a little bit of a rough time, because we nearly even intervened in Real Bafokeng around the issue of the stadium there. Because there was a little bit of some misunderstanding there. But I'm happy that you don't talk about it, it has been ironed. Maybe you don't even know about it, but I know. Honourable members, let's ask questions of clarity from Royal Bafokeng, but they are ready. 98% says they are ready. Comrade Cora, Bangilizwe, Comrade Lucas. Yes, Cora.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Now the presentation looks very good. It's just a pity one don't have all the slides so as to engage with them, slide by slide. But be that as it may, I just want to understand within this 98% work done at the stadium, what has our people benefited, the small black contractors? What role have they played there? I thought that is very important. You spoke about the Rustenburg War School and the teaching, what has happened there. The reason why I'm asking about this Rustenburg School, those high schools are known to be very, very racist, and aren't we going to pick up some problems with all this is, because we must prepare ourselves for surprises as well. And we know the areas where we're saying that apartheid has not been uprooted yet. And the British Isles match, you indicate it's going to be in May and what have you. Is it going to be played at the stadium, or where is it going to be played? Let me stop the first step.
Thank you, Chair. One, I've seen the picture of the stadium. It looks very beautiful indeed. I just want to be clarified around the question of the roof is going to be only one-sided. That's the first thing. The second thing, Chair, I hear that access routes are at 60%. I don't know what are the conditions of those roads or new roads to be constructed. But there's a general feeling that our roads are terrible indeed. Whether the capacity is there to ensure that we deal with those roads, that goes together with the road infrastructure. I think it gets linked to Cora. To what extent do our people pay roads in that kind of a process of dealing with the roads? I know that part of the country, and it's quite worrying. I think I want to get out of this meeting given a surety and a clear guarantee that will be dealt with, because it will have a lot of implications, you know. The second thing, Chair, is well, this is linked also to beautification. I need to be clarified, Chair, with your respect, who's responsible for this beautification, you know. Whether it's a district municipality or it's a local municipality, and, you know, through their well, in conjunction, I wanted to be accepted, because it's not going to be there forever. Because my worry, you know, Chair, is we are told that there are departments of gardening and environment in the local municipalities. But but what we see people who come in the morning in a big truck and a little machine in Mbize Mnyama. They drop the Mbize Mnyama and prepare for it. The rest go to the beer hall and come and drink. After 2 hours, they're all gone without having done anything. Now, the significance of this issue that I'm raising, it's a common issue throughout our local municipalities, and it's worrying. We see young boys sitting in corners trying to look into, you know, to beautify their own little spaces. And they are not taken into consideration or, you know, encouraged to participate in those kinds of programs. I don't know whether the LOC have looked into that, utilized some of the skills. They do that voluntarily, but they do that eventually. They sit and smoke taha thereafter, you know, because nobody appreciates what they are doing. The truck comes and making this nyama in front of them and drink beer and leave. And this boy starts realizing that our effort is not recognized. Probably that's the way we can deal with moral regeneration. So those are my few questions. Now, Lucas.
Thank you. Park and ride. What happens where the buses park from the park to the stadium? Are you going to utilize taxis, the local people, or what is the situation there? Because that might be a good opportunity to utilize local transport. The other thing was the calendar events. I see you had a lot of calendar events, and only 3 events had sort of indication of dates. Why are the dates missing on the others? And then African event, I support that 120%, because we're in Africa, and I think it's good that you're working with Botswana, because the whole thing is for Africa, and that is highly appreciated. The concern I also have, you see, you talk a lot about with schools, conversion of Batavi middle schools into a museum, and on the other hand, in South Africa, we have a problem with schools, the shortage of school space. And I'm saying, isn't there a conflict over there? And then the last one was a shortfall of 140. How is that going to be met?
Yeah, the last one. Yes. Chair, thanks. Chair, mine is based mainly on safety and security. I saw in one of your slides you showed that the U.S. is also going to play against Egypt. And given the security attitude of the U.S. and how they like to secure their citizenry, especially their teams, are you prepared? Because when they were playing in Korea, one of the streets had to close. They booked the whole hotel, everything, because of the security concerns of the US teams. So, given that the security concerns of the US team have not subsided yet, are you prepared to handle a situation like that? Thank you.
Thank you, Comrade. That much lift me out, not when I'm alone, and somebody might be very good on another aspect. It's not about you that you have presented.
No, thanks, Dr. Umbrella. And thanks, honorable members. I think there are those questions that I will give to Dr. Kuno. But maybe the issue of the security from honorable members is that the Team USA has visited us more than 5 times as a city. And we can safely say that from a security perspective, coming from the security pillar, they have taken that into consideration. But we must also say that we started that because we adopted as a province USA. You know, there was a program of adopting a country. We adopted the USA as our country. And I think that the discussion started around that. And we I think we are ready. We are cognizant of their security issues. And as we are fully agree with you that it still stands. It hasn't changed, even in though after the election, it still stands. So we have taken that into consideration, Chair. And we are working very close. We can safely say to the committee that our security cluster is really pulling all resources in terms of making sure that everything happens accordingly. Bob Lucas, on the issue of park and rides, yes, that discussion with the taxi association, that discussion with the bus operators within the Rustenburg, and we know that there's a process of also government from Department of Transport bringing also shuttle buses. But I think critical is that how our people benefit, you know, in these processes. And clearly that engagement and really trying to reduce the conflict between all these sectors, it is very important. So we are in full discussion with the taxi. Last 2 weeks back, we had the port. It's one of the port that gives permits in terms of transportation to say you are allowed to use this route. You are now. We had a discussion with them. The whole port came and discussed with us to say we need to know. So that when a bus that comes from Tswane, we are giving them permission and so forth. So there are those discussions around that. And we are also looking at park and rides from an economic opportunity point of view, where you can start to identify young people that will mend those park and rides, you know, so that when people come and park there, their cars are safe, and there are people that are looking at that, and there's an income from an economic generation point of view. So we will do that. In terms of Matale, old Matale Middle School, and the new Matale Middle School, Ndatekunong will do that, but we didn't compromise the educational part of it. The old Matale school was dilapidating, and then we needed to look at building a new school for young people around that with the commitment from Royal Bafokeng, and then a new school was built for a better one, better infrastructure, better facilities. And then we said, what do we do with the old one? Because it is about 100 meters to the stadium. So hence it was proposed as a sport museum, linking it with the stadium. Ndatukunung will talk about the shortage, he'll talk about the money part of it. But yes, as part of the African event, we really were working together with the High Commissioner. He's passionate about this event. He's really driving it for the Botswana people, but also the commitment from the Football Association. They have also created the 2010 committee that really deals with all these matters. I think the issue of the fan park, what we've said to FIFA, they, from their side, they looked at infrastructure, transport. And what we were saying is that, yes, Rustenburg War School, in terms of infrastructure, you can't compare it with Tlhabane High School. I mean, from a historical point of view, that is given, you know. But also they are looking at it from that perspective to say, if you have a proper infrastructure, transport system, and so forth. But our argument is to say that even in Tsitsing, because Tsitsing is really in the heart of the people, you also have a stadium that has been built, that has infrastructure and so forth. So we are in discussion, but we can safely say that the school was quite positive, that they can play a role as part of contribution through the World Cup and so forth. So we will engage. Maybe when we come back, we should have reached a certain consensus with FIFA and the LOC around the issue of utilizing our school or utilizing the team. But there's willingness and commitment from the school governing body, from the management of the school, and so forth. We are engaging. Actually, on Thursday, we'll be meeting with them to really outline some of the requirements and so forth. The small contractors, Brother George, you will talk to that. I leave all these others to Brother George. Or the beautification issue, I think, yes. I wouldn't want to say it's a culture in local municipality. It's a culture that we are rooting it out. As part of service delivery, you do have those departments that are responsible for environment, beautification, from community development, that deals with those matters. And Jefferson Siazo, they will come in the morning, stop the truck, and come back during lunchtime. Actually, they eat their lunch at 10 o'clock. But I think we are taking into consideration the issue that the Honorable Member has raised of utilizing the talent that you find in our township and in our villages, of young people creating their own parks, and how do we engage them to contribute towards the beautification, but also as part of a benefit and skills and economic opportunities for them. I think myself and Lerato, we are working in that, and we take that advice and we'll look at it in terms of involving them. Because some of these things, they do them on their own. Some of these parks are next to car washes in our townships, and they're beautiful. And I think we will take that advice.
Just a follow up on one of the statements that you uttered. Yes, it's quick.
Yes, sir. The follow up is based on the utilization of the wood school versus sitting. Yeah. Don't you think, given the Northwest racial past, and even not past, even in the present, don't you think using the whole school will be in the interest of racial reconciliation and nation building, as opposed to Tsitsing? And also, given that the horse school is closer to the stadium than Tsitsing is 20 kilos. But over and above that, Northwest is had a serious racial problem, a serious one, which does not want to go away. So don't you think, in that context, the utilization of the horse school will, in a way, also try to play a role in nation building and national reconciliation.
Thank you.
No, I think we are also looking at it from that context, that there's a willingness, commitment from the school itself to say we want to integrate. But the good part about hosting of this tournament is that, you know, your so-called former middle school, Model C schools, most of them don't have soccer as a sports coach. But because of hosting of 2010 from the office, we've been having so many requests to say that we want to start a football team, coming from learners to say we want to start a football team, we want to play football in our school. So we are saying that let's utilize this opportunity in addressing some of the transformational issues that you find within the sports. So I think, honorable members, we will take that, but also we need to find a balance, because our communities are saying that we have never had an opportunity in our villages to host these events. We want to also be given an opportunity. It will also assist us in addressing infrastructure padlocks, because you have access roads, you have stadiums that are proper, and so forth. So I think the dilemma that we have is to find this balance and I think we'll take all these issues. This is the kind of engagement that we're having in FIFA, looking at all these issues. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Chair and Honourable Members. Perhaps let me look at the issue on the benefits of the construction of this infrastructure. First of all, the stadium, we appointed four companies, consultants, which are black, you know, owned, you know, electrical, mechanical, and so on. Now, with regard to the contractors, it was a JV with one of the strong construction company, Pereira, together with the local contractors. So the benefit was both to say that initial was to capacitate the management of these small contractors, which I think they benefited greatly, that we have actually been using them in the next contract. The African Sports Campus that has been mentioned, these black contractors are constructing it. In terms of the maintenance, the people who have worked on some project have now been signed on as the maintenance contractors. We had employed over 800 workers on the contract, and a lot of them will remain to do the maintenance work, which I would say we had also a lot of ladies that were employed to do the what you call industrial cleaning, and they will continue to do the cleaning of the project throughout. The match of the British Lions will be played at our stadium in May, I think the 30th of May. That's the British Lions will be playing on that stadium. The roof, yes. Right from the initial stage, we did not see the need to roof the whole stadium. We only focused on one side, which is the western side, primarily because, you know, the sun sets on the west. I don't know in Cape Town, but the sun sets on the west, and even when you put a roof on the other side, on the eastern, the side will still reach you at the very highest tier of that roof. So, for us, it was economically not meaningful to put the roof around the stadium. So on the western side, the additional 4,000 seats that we had to put in, what we did, we removed the existing roof, which was there initially, and elevated that facade with additional tier, and then re-roofed it. Yes, ma'am.
But the principal thing is, the roof on the stadium doesn't probably tamper with any requirements of FIFA, because probably the honourable member is asking a question that if you put half of the roof, is it still within the requirements, or even if the roof was not there, whatever, but the principal thing is that it is within the FIFA requirements in as far as the structure of the stadium is structured as it is now.
Right. Yes, in answering, yes. FIFA made it quite clear, the initial inspection, that there was no need to take into account that the game will be played at night and also winter time. We don't expect rain and so on. So they're quite satisfied that the roofing of one side of the stadium is sufficient. The roads, the concentration mainly for now was trying to ease the traffic along the main road passing Pukeng to Sun City from Rustenburg, which in the past games caused a lot of congestion of traffic. And to ease that, we created a new road on the western side, if the slide was up, taking the traffic completely away from, you know, directly from the new N4 to run on as a spine road on the western side of Pukeng to linking up to the road just past Pukeng to Sun City, so that the traffic will only be allowed on the current road, the R565 running past Pukeng, only for the traffic and the traffic that is coming into the stadium. So that will take away a lot of other traffic that initially was causing congestion. and also around the stadium, there's what we call a ring road. Again, that road is also near completion. And there's an upgrading of the road from Pukeng to Sun City. The first road, the Western Bypass, if you look at the map where they've got the red and dotted, black dotted line, that's a complete new road. And for Confederation, this is an N4, the whole N4 from Pretoria past Rustenburg to Botswana. Now, what we've done, we've created a new road here where there's Rustenburg Road coming out like that, in terms of to link up with the N4. We've created a new road to take all the traffic away from that comes from Rustenburg, past Pukeng to Sun City. This is the current road. But to ease that road from heavy traffic, we've taken the road, we've built a new road from here. It goes, this area is actually Bafokeng, and it takes all the traffic away from there and linking it to the new road. This is an existing road. There's a new dual carriage road being built from here to Sun City, which is done in four phases. The first phase is now being completed. The whole road from here is a dual carriage up to halfway to Sun City. And the new road, that existing road is now being upgraded. The road has, the work has started. But this road here is totally going to ease a lot of traffic going on this road here. So it goes like from here, right, linking up to this Sun City at this point. Now, there's a new link road taking traffic from here, where there's going to be a new park and ride, taking the traffic from here to the stadium. And this is also a new ring road around the stadium. And this road here is going to be exclusively used for the Confederation and the World Cup. And therefore, people will then be dropped off here, the park and ride, and be shuttled to the stadium and back again. So the traffic around this area has been taken into account. There's a new road also that has been built here, which is also taking the traffic from whichever direction from the east, and traffic will be coming also from these directions on existing roads, which is currently being upgraded as well. The park and rides, and allowing people to come on the bus shuttles to the stadium only. This is the kind of infrastructure at the moment that is being designed and is also under construction, and we're hoping that by the Confederation, the road on the Western Bypass will be done up to this point, and then the balance of it will be completed in October. But again, for the Confed, I think we'll manage to get the traffic easier around in the stadium. So that's it. But generally, I think the question that was raised on... Sorry about that.
Currently, we have in different provinces a serious unhappiness among taxi organizations. Yes, with this, BRTs, bus rapid transport system. Yeah, and especially looking at these two major events, the CONCACAF and the World Cup. Now, have you sought any challenges with the taxi organizations in your area, in your province? Especially because you are saying transport will pick people from wherever and then drop them there, and then they will be shuttled at the stadium. Have you reached any agreements with the taxi associations? Because one of the biggest problems was that one.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. Point. As my colleague earlier said, we like to do it right. We had a consultation with the taxi associations, and that is basically was to outline what we call a rapid transport network and work out how they fit into the structure. So I can assure you that I think taxis are going to be involved in shuttling the buses, the passengers to the stadium in and out. I think the issue on, of course, Northwest, and I saw the report that Northwest roads are not that good. Look, yeah, I know. I think the truth is that, yes, it's real. Those are the issues that the province is dealing with. Hopefully they will be able to identify the routes that are critical for this World Cup outside the whole city areas and deal with. I think we last week when we had a meeting with the Premier and executive, this issue was raised, and the MEC for Transport did indicate that he's going to deal with the issues. Thank you. I think the issue that I think my colleague dealt with, the beautification project, we don't want to view this thing as a once-off thing. We have come up to develop a plan that will be sustainable from now through, and we're not only focusing around the stadium and its precinct, but we're looking at broadly areas which go as far as the training venues and see what kind of project that we can set up there, that, and it's not only like planting the trees, but it's also including, I mean, picking up the littering and running them through the processes of what you call recycling processes. That becomes a project that would sustain and have its own income in the future. That's what we're working with the communities on. But the involvement of the communities are going to be key in this. Where already some of them have approached us to look at the what you call the waste management projects, and some of them we have been tested. We have given them some of the projects in the stadium to work on that. The calendar event, of course, I think my colleague should actually give the dates, but the one date that he didn't give was the British Lions, which is coming also on the 30th of May. The relationship, I think, that is very emphasized. I don't have to repeat that. I think it's, and I think what I can remind people is that the Queen Mother comes from Botswana, so it's not only about the World Cup. This relationship has existed for long, and we're maintaining it as we go along. Last week, when Khosi was addressing the council, there was an invitation extended to some government officials in Botswana, and the High Commissioner was also present to strengthen this relationship. The school that was mentioned, Matali School, what has happened closest to the stadium, there were three schools. Matali School was a middle school. It's actually the first high school of the Bafokeng. We decided that that school become part of the stadium as legacy project. And then we relocated the kids that were in the school to another school, because the two other schools that were close to each other were running like half full, half empty. We then combined those two schools and took one of them and converted it into a middle school and added, built new 10 classrooms in. Those kids are now taken care of. They were not left in on a ledge. I think that the money, of course, becomes a major issue. We identified some months back that we're going to run into a serious shortfall financially. As you know, the initial budget of 298 million is now running into 470 million. Basically, this is as a result of more requirements and so on that came from the technical team visiting the stadium. We did not, you know, of course, sit back and until such time as we get funding that we can honor those requirements. I think we carried on when the funds came from the Bafokeng over and above the 140 million that was initially put in. And as it stands now, basically what has happened, we took funds from other projects of the Bafokeng to continuously pay the workers and consultants on the stadium. That, of course, remained with that big gap that we are asking you know, the government to assist us on. You know what's going to happen next? I know the people out there don't always go out in the street and play to it, but they raise their concern to say what happened to our projects. We had to do that, unfortunately, otherwise the stadium would still be behind as we speak.
Thank you, Dr. Hono.
I don't think that I phrased my question right when I was speaking about black businesses in what of you. I wanted to speak about emerging businesses, the small entrepreneurs. What kind of benefit? Because I know that Northwest, there might be busy black business. One for instance, people are talking about consultants and what have you. I'm talking about the smaller and emerging ones. What kind of benefits would they say after this thing that we have been taken on board and what? Yes. That's your question. Thank you.
Especially those who will be selling Malali Mohodo around the stadium precinct. Chair, but mine is just a caution on after what Raikuno have said about the roof of the stadium. Given the present climate conditions, I think it will not be business as usual. It's going to be business very unusual as far as the climate is concerned. So just a caution, you must just be ready and be prepared because winter this year is going to start early. We don't know where it's going to rain, where it's still going to rain. We have very unusual climate conditions right now, you know, in some parts of the country. So just a caution. Thank you.
Thank you. I think you must take a question. But if it was a requirement, I would say I think we must meet that requirement. But in spite of it being not a requirement, it's just that I think we have done halfway job in an event, such eventualities that the Honorable says is raising, which are possible, but at least they that half roof which is there. I went to Egypt for the Confederation. Ourselves and the President of Egypt, there's nothing like a presidential suite there in Egypt. It was raining when Bafana Bafana was battered there. We were wet, and the bodyguards of the president just do something like a guard of honor. They put an umbrella away. There is nothing like that. We were in Cairo, in Egypt, during the camp, and then it was raining, heavily raining, but we were wet. There is nothing like these things that you see in South Africa. There's nothing like that. I'm telling you the honest fact. You'll be shocked when you go to Egypt and say, it is said this is the biggest stadium in Cairo, and then you want to go and see what is happening there. And from where the game was played, which was the last game, to go to the airport, the game ended up at 7, because they started early. The flight was supposed to leave at 10. We had to call that the flight must wait for us at 11 o'clock, because we couldn't arrive at the airport in time. Fortunately, we had a chartered flight for South Africa, so that's why they had to wait for us. Otherwise, you must leave there before the end of the game, so that you must run to the airport, which is far, not even to O.R. Tambo to Northwest. Far from that. But it's fine. Question. You see what is happening that. Komrekora is raising question, but time and again we are faced with this question. But the only people that are said to be benefiting here, LTA, Robert, Marion Roberts, they go and pick somebody at the corner of the street, and when they present it so that this is a B compliant and all that, all the things that are not true. And then, unfortunately, I don't work with trading industry. But I would never just give a go-ahead without the necessary checks and balances of whether the company complies exactly to that. Because when we go around, we got shocking things there. An old man doesn't even know that he's part of that company. But when you look at him, he's poor, doesn't even have shoes, but he's part of a company that is performing very well. That is an indictment of the Department of Trade and Industry. If they're not vigilant, then that's what is going on throughout. But this question that Cora is raising, the question that people are asking, say that not everybody in the Northwest is going to benefit out of this grand occasion of 2010. But are we going to say, even the ordinary people, those that are of environment conscience, and some of the people, because one thing that we have done in the 2010 Measures Act, we have created a dispensation deliberately there, because FIFA wanted to say to us, no, there will be no chizanyama there. And then he said, it's not going to happen. And we put it on the act, so that what you do with people that are used to go to F&B stadium there and sell papen vors to us and all those things. Are you saying because it's the cup, the World Cup and the African Cup of Nations, they must go away there? Now they said, no, they must not go away. But at least they must be given accreditation for them to be there on basis of security and all other things. Because we'd have never, as South Africa, and as sports and recreation, would have never allowed such a thing to happen. Where these people who are selling peanuts, peanuts got nothing to do with the conflict of the ambushing marketing of the FIFA. It's got nothing to do with that. And then we say, no, they must not do that. Yes, if they want to sell Coca-Cola, it is Coca-Cola there. They must go and buy Coca-Cola and sell it to people there. There is no conflict there. But to say, oh, my kids are not going to get anything, we have refused. But if you check the two acts that were passed in Parliament, we have created that kind of a situation there. So Okora is asking about that. Because when we went to F&B Stadium, we asked those people that were with us there, and then I remained, and then we asked, these trucks that are taking this soil and go and tip it somewhere, who do they belong to? I said, no, they belong to other people. Who are the black people that are involved in this construction of the F&B Stadium? I'm saying to you, it was almost nil in that F&B Stadium. But the kind of money that was put there for the F&B Stadium, it doesn't warrant the kind of a percentage of involvement of our own people in that stadium. It doesn't. You go to Mangau, there is one person that is a project manager, just running up and down there, but the real work is done by other people, and the real money goes to other people. But the people were supposed to say, what we do for people in Mangau, but in the Free State, in particular Mangau, are they benefiting out of this construction? We're paying 50 billion for the road construction, infrastructure construction, and stadium, and all that that we're contributing on. And it cannot be something that our people say that, no, it has just been a benefit of a Granica, and then that is all. We're saying that that is why we're asking that kind of a question. Are we confident that one day when you go to Northwest, when you walk in the streets there, people are saying, at least I bought a cup of a cup out of the money that I was collecting out of the 2010 World Cup. Have we created even these souvenirs that people buddy rekang and all that along the road? Have we created those kind of situations where these foreigners would go and buy from those people and all this? Or have you just leave it to the monopoly of the FIFA again? Because with us, we have not. And I'm making reference to the Act. Because we have refused also that FIFA should be involved on the fan parks, no, on the public viewing areas. We said public viewing areas should be the sole responsibility of the municipality. But the fan parks, give them to FIFA. Because with the public viewing areas, you are creating a local economic people to do whatever they want to do there for themselves, rather than at least it must be a straitjacket and then meet a certain requirements from a FIFA there. But I'm sure you have the two acts that we've dealt with here. Read them again carefully, so that you will see what. Because I'm singing it out of my head, because it was done by us, and we clear what we're trying to do there out of that act. And then the things that we're trying to do there, we were trying even to create a situation. One of the things that is in that act is that you are not responsible for the town dress. There's this whole addressing of the cities. It is not your responsibility. Because that money, if you have to dress the city and ride to the airport, you're going to take the whole money from the municipality. FIFA must be part of the whole the city dress. And we have agreed on those things, because they brought
Selwyn, some one lawyer of theirs which was dealing with us on the act there. Because some of the things that they were saying you must do there are the things that we're not comfortable that the municipalities, after the World Cup, you're not going to see some sporadic discontent of people that you're not able to meet those kind of things. Can you respond to Chorus?
Yeah, I should respond because I took an advantage of it. The situation with the buffer gang, let me say, put it this way. There are many other projects that we do beyond just the stadium. The whole infrastructure is constructed by buffer gang funds. We have a data list of contractors in various categories, those who can do us, you know, to the level of their capacity. When it came to the stadium, we made sure that some of the people were not necessarily contracting to the main contractor, they were doing the project directly with us. I can give an example on the painting, the plastering, the plumbing and all those sorts of things. But those are not, you know, JV'd with anybody. I mean, we took them directly from our data list. And those are the people who have done the work for us before, and they continue to do such jobs. If you look at the main project, like the JV that I'm talking about with Leveira and the other local chap, the percentage of the amount of work that Leveira is doing is very little compared to what this other local contractor is doing. There were a number of reasons why we had to enter into a contract in a JV form with Leveira. But largely, the amount of work being done, if you take the amount of paving, it's done by our black contractors. And they will continue to do that also as maintenance projects. So we can give you the numbers. I mean, they're simple. I mean, you can actually even interview some of the contractors that have got these projects. Now, further than that, the concessions in the stadium, we have reserved them for the local entrepreneurs. There were lots of people who came applying for the, you know, use of those concession rooms, and we reserved them clearly to our local people to. Yes, I think the issue of FIFA asking us not to, you know, to tell people not to sell in the street and so on, I think we take that into account. But the concessions in the stadium are clearly allocated to the local business people. I think we're quite confident that we have actually cut the cake good enough to feed the local business people.
No, thanks very much. I'm closing, sir. No, it's not critical. No, you die if you don't ask that question. If you don't like a sir. I'm not taking the question from sir. No, sir. No, it's good. But we would like, when you finish with the project, you must send us the addresses, the names of the companies, those that were involved in the building of that stadium. Because when we do that, if Ubabuluka say, let's go and have a feel and whether our people in this country really are saying, let the other World Cup come, they're happy. They're not going to make everybody happy. But at least there should be a level of satisfaction that our people are drawing out of this segment. It can't just be something that people are saying, oh, it has put us 20 years back. So with our oversight, we will do that and go there. We've done some of those things, and I can tell you very shocking things there. On the clothing that we are buying from other companies as department, I said that, okay, department, can you give us the people that are giving, we're buying clothes to them? Or the people that have requested equipment from the department, give us the names of those people. And then, because we want to go and see them, whether there's a sports activity where you have delivered those things. Some of those things are not happy experience for us. But it is the kind of job that we're doing. We go there and find out whether what they're telling us is it true. Not that we doubt what they say. But you want, when you stand up there, somebody asks us a question that doesn't have sense, you must be able to say, in your own area you don't know. These are the people that benefited out of this. And go and check them whether they stay in the suburb or not. If today they stay in the suburb, but look at their origin before the World Cup. What has made them today to shift is because at the time when we started our World Cup, this is where they are away. And at least they benefited out of that. This is the level we have placed them. So go and see in your own area. So that you must not come and people say things that they don't know in many instances. But in what is your due date with FIFA around your stadium? The date that you said, there are two dates there. There's a date that you are proposing that, no, we will be through on this date. And they are saying, by this date, we want the stadium should be complete. I want to get that date from you. I must check whether you're still on track with that date.
I'm sure Chair is aware that there are dates for actual play of the games, a certain number of hours before the date. The FIFA takes over the stadium fully. But there's a process of what we call involvement of FIFA directly on the stadium. They have gone out to tender already for what we call overlay projects. We have said to them, and I think when they visited us on Thursday, they were quite convinced that in terms of the areas that they have been inspecting all along since the start of the construction of the stadium, they have indicated on Thursday that they are quite happy that those areas are now complete, meaning that practically we have asked them to give us until the end of February that we can strip down the scaffold on the very far end of that roof, which will be down and cleared completely by the 28th of February, which then means from the beginning of March, FIFA can now access the stadium freely, because what we wanted to do is to sign off with the contractor that contractually the stadium, I mean the contractor cannot lay claim against the stadium owner for any eventualities. So what we're going to be doing is that at the end of this month, we'll give the contractor a practical certificate of completion, which then means that FIFA can then access the stadium and carry out whatever the projects that they have to do.
I hear the issue of that school. I think on basis of what CHC is saying, I have a different view. I will not say my view. I have a different view around that school. But it's fine. On when it says on reconciliation and all those things, it's fine. But I would have said, if that school is upgraded in the way the school is going to be used, it's a teaching school. It means you have left a legacy in that school, in teaching, in your own community. But at least Rustenburg has that kind of a setup that doesn't have a problem. But I personally, I will not raise my view on it. But it's okay. You can take a worse school. It's fine. But if
maybe I should take the liberty of saying I agree with you. that we wanted fan parks for us, because this is what we're talking about, fan park. It shouldn't be just be seen as a once-off thing. We said, let us identify an area that can be used as a fan park for now and the future. And again, the legacy, not once-off. So, and my colleague here from Rustenburg, I think we take note of your comments, Chair.
But Chair, as I said, that we must find a balance.
Yes. Okay. Let me reserve my comment, but I was just raising it in passing. But at least you keep that spirit. It's a good spirit. Unfortunately, I don't have that kind of a spirit. It's good for you to have. I want to check from there is a ground tax that is paid by both the Confederation and the FIFA. What is the percentage of the ground tax that is going to be paid to, in your case, is going to be to Royal Bafokeng? in the case of Mangaung is going to be paid to the municipality as a ground tax. What is that percentage? Is it between 15% to 20%?
I cannot confirm that now, Chair, because initially, I don't know the latest conditions, but initially it was a fixed sum of money.
Yes.
It was not based on a gate taking.
Okay.
It was a fixed sum of money. And that those days it was quoted during, I think it was 240 or 230 thousand of dollars. So what the current figure is right now, I don't know.
Yeah. Because why it's resolved the Dekhuno is because when you have the 141 million shortfall, and then you're struggling where you could get that, I would say check into that $240. They were talking about the US dollars that time. I still have to finally, before anything happens, and then it's just that we are now in a different mood now. I wanted to find out from FIFA, Danny Jordan, what is exactly the amount that is going to be paid for the number of games that are going to be played on that stadium? Whether it's still $240,000 and then converting it is likely to meet your shortfall of 141. In any event, you go and discuss and negotiate with anybody. You must negotiate with the business where you so you know that for sure 141 million is going to come on basis of what is going to be the grant tax, although it might come it's either before the games or after the games, but the fact is it will be there at the end. So I'm not sure what is it. Although that money was not supposed to be probably been bond or whatever, but in view of some challenges that are there, you must look at those options. What are the options? Do you have also this thing of the workers that work in Royal Bafokeng that you have given them the 2 tickets for the games? Has it applied to the workers there?
Yeah, it does apply. What we have said to the management of the stadium construction is to, because lots of, as you know, construction as it comes to an end, a lot of contractors started moving away from site. But we kept a record and the addresses of these workers, and we've already informed them that there will be some tickets to give it to them for these tournaments, and they appreciate it much. Yes,
thank you. But it's one thing that we appreciate, and parliaments appreciate, and the government appreciates, because you can't. I think it is a good thing that FIFA and you yourself have discussed that should happen, because those people work very hard in building up those stadiums, and then in their mind now, they say, at least I have a seat there in one of these games. Because I've heard that there is one for probably one of the starting games and one of the probably semi-final, whatever. That is a good thing. That is what we've been saying it should happen to schools. That for you to be able to really trying to manage the excitement of all of us wants to go to the stadium. The tours and everything around the rebuilding of these stadiums and all that. It should happen. In KwaZulu-Natal, it's happening. They show us where, when you arrive there, it was an open space and there was nothing. And kids were shown, this is the place where the stadium is going to be. But today, when they go there, they find that there's a big wall and then nice development going on. They say, oh my goodness, it was an open space, but today it is a stadium there. And if it beams on the television, and you are sitting with one of your children who attended school that was fortunate to go there, you say, Daddy, you know, we were there. You see where these people are? And then we're there. At least I know. We have a feel of what is happening there in that stadium, although we're not part of that stadium. That's how Germany has done it. That's how Korea has done it. That's how France has done it. All these countries that have hosted the World Cup before that we have visited. They said that it is difficult to manage excitement of people wants to go to the stadium, but the tickets for people to go to the stadium is lesser than the population that is outside. We are 47 million people here. There is 1.7 million tickets throughout the world. They are not even for South African. Even if you can give them each ticket, 47 million people will never be all of them at the stadium. But how do you manage that excitement, and how do you draw them again to the public viewing areas? In Germany, when we were there, I was telling the German colleagues who were visiting us last week, 2 weeks ago, people in Germany were so negative about their team. Very negative. But as the team progresses there, it was full on the fan parks and the public viewing areas. Everybody having a German flag. And the German are saying for the first time in the history of Germany that you could see anybody wrapping himself with a flag or taking a flag, because if you have a German flag, they regard you as a fundamentalist. So it was difficult, and people are afraid to carry the German flag. Or, but during the World Cup, then they said that you could see a flag flying through the window there. You'd never see that under normal circumstances in Germany. That thing has changed the perception of the people. It has bring patriotism to them. They felt that they are part of the German flag. And that is the kind of things that we were saying people should do for them to manage the excitement around the 2010 World Cup, the arts and culture.
So I may just mention with regards to stadium tours, we are drawing up a program for road shows to the schools where we will bus kids into the stadium and take them on tours. And we're working on giving them badges that have a slogan that says Kinekiliting, meaning I was there. So, you know, those kinds of processes are in place.
I'm not giving anybody.
Yes,
I don't want clarity. Wait.
It is of national importance.
No, yes, I'm saying please, it's my chance. Can you switch off the mic, please? Thank you very much. Yes, yes, it's nice to conclude. Nice. On the arts and culture. When we were in Germany at the border, South African artists took Germany by storm when President was going to get the torch and bring it to South Africa. Because we were showcasing what they're going to get as South African culture. Lola, you are next to Botswana and Mafikeng. What is this that is ready there? You didn't hear talking to you about it. Are you going to call Pavarotti to sing for them in South Africa there, or what is there? Or you're calling you hip hop? When you call guys from hip hop to come there, and then is there something that is arranged so that
no?
When the fans, their teams are not playing, those fans are all over at the shopping mall. They are eating, they are drinking. They want to go and have fun in the evening. Are we ready for that? And they'll go to Johannesburg, definitely. So they'll go to Johannesburg. Narat, Lilu is staying. I want to know.
I'm busy trying to coach him to tell him what is underway. We are in discussions with Kimang Hip Hop Panzola, WHP, and then there's other group that just won the Metro FM Awards. There's that. And then there's also there's a program that we're putting together in terms of igniting the spirit of the games in the nation. So we're having an intern that is coming through the second week of March, and he's going to be working on the fusion of cultural art and hip hop that kids in the schools are going to get involved with, as well as the teenage component of our population that's going to get involved in activities like that. And we'll have that every single week leading up to the Confederations Cup.
These people who are going to land at the OR Tambo, they will leave Northwest and go to Johannesburg, because when they get at the airport there, they will feel this is South Africa and say, no, we have changed our mind. We are no more going down to the Northwest.
Do you know? I think, you know, one of the best
cultural dance
yes.
you will find in the North
okay. Place. That's okay. Yes. That's what I want. I want you to compete with Johannesburg.
No, definitely. We are going to do that.
I want you to compete with Johannesburg.
If it means taking the big five,
yes.
we will take the big
that's
five.
Good. From. That's good. You see, you have that advantage. Yes. Yes. Tell me, is there anybody who's going to die if
yes,
you don't say?
Sure.
Okay.
It's a serious indictment.
Okay.
Chair, I think I must correct this thing. That for the past 10 years, we have been saying we have a population of 47 million. Really? I'm not sure for the past 10 years, it's a serious indictment on us men. Really? I'm not sure really who. You can't keep on for the past 10 years saying that we are 47 million, 47 million.
Sorry, okay, okay. Okay, we are plus 47 million. Please switch off your phone, Mike. We are plus 47 million population. Then I'm sure Arab people are happy about that. And especially the new married people are objecting. No, it's okay, it's okay. Lerato Tiet is married. They just married last week. So, please. The last point. In as far as the your stadium, its size is equal to what stadium? Because I'm asking you that question. There's a very wrong thing that is going on in as far as these allocations are concerned. The Nelson Mandela gets less 651 million to the Greenpoint Stadium. The size of the stadium is the same. Everything is the same. But Nelson, the Echequip gets less than 651 million. And I still asking, what is this that makes it to be have a difference? I want to check your stadium. Because somebody must tell me, must make sense to me. That is because it's at the Cape Town, and then it defeats the 651 million. Because it's at Tequini, it must not get that it must have a shortfall of 651 million. Because there is no logic to whoever allocates that can give a logic to me and say, the stadium, same capacity, and in the same country, and everything, and therefore we make that Echequini less 651 million. And this one in Greenpoint must be extra with 651 million. I have not checked other stadiums that are of the same capacity, but it's a very serious thing that we are following up.
We are at the same capacity as Mangaung, also Nelson Mandela Bay. But if you check in terms of the allocation, I think we're the lowest.
The lowest. But what made you to be the lowest? Was it you're not doing the major work like Mangaung and Nelson Mandela? Because Nelson Mandela was almost building the new stadium from the ground. And therefore, it can necessarily not be the same as yours when you are renovating. But the two stadiums that I'm speaking about are stadiums that are starting from the ground. Nelson Mandela and, Greenpoint and Echequi.
No, we were renovating as much as Mangaung also is renovating.
Yes.
But if you look at the allocation,
yeah.
Are way different.
What makes it the difference?
I think Treasury and Sports can respond to that.
Okay, TG is out. Maybe TG will tell. But Treasury will tell us tomorrow. They are not going to tell us today because those things are taken up to the relevant people that are dealing with us. Because I really want to check what is the logic there. TG, the Royal Bafokeng and Mangaung. Except Nelson Mandela, of course, with the same size. The difference with Nelson Mandela, it's a new stadium completely. What makes the Sports and Recreation and Treasury to conclude on an equal amount when the stadiums are of the same capacity and they're doing the same thing, renovations? What was the rationale to give Mangaung more and the Royal Bafokeng less? If you can't answer it now, you're still going to make the research and then I'll be happy, because I want that answer, because even in Etiquini and this one, because the stadium in Greenpoint, up until when we gave them ultimatum that if 12 o'clock can strike and they have not signed, they must forget there will not be a World Cup in Cape Town. They hold us at Transom up until that time, and then they sign just before 12 o'clock. And from there we pump more, 651 million to them, and when they were not interested to hold the World Cup, any event. Now I want to check those things. If you don't have an answer by tomorrow, I want to have an answer on that. But if you have it, you can say it now.
Chairperson, I hold no belief for Cape Town. I think even if I do have an answer, you're not going to like it. let me say, obviously it was before my time. Treasury is here. If there's further detail of the number crunching that went into it. When I asked this question, I was told that it's largely because of all the environmental impact issues that Cape Town had to deal with. And some of those adjustments to satisfy the environmental impact conditions. So that's the short answer. Of course, the actual detail of the exact cost arising from those preconditions that was set not by the municipality but also with the province. I think if you want that detail, we'll have to ask Treasury to do those calculations. Thanks.
Now, I'll learn that, DG, because if that's the case, the environmental activists in Nelson Mandela, they're not supposed to do that, because there were people, few people with khaki things marching down there and saying there's going to be an environment problem in the Green Point. So you could have allowed everybody to march for environmental sensitivity. If the Cape Town, if Cape Town is the only one that is forcing us on environmental sensitivity, when others probably were saying there is no environmental sensitivity to them, but let us not engage on those things. But it is a question to me that I cannot consider, because everywhere, even the Royal Bafokeng too, there were some of the environmental issues that were there, which they themselves had to grapple with them and negotiate and run with them. Not the court case that has made the Green Point to go to there because of the noise. Is it because that stadium was going to be crammed by black people and making a noise, then therefore you should make a noise, the noise proof? It can't be correct to us. It can't be correct. It's unacceptable. But we'll find out what is the reason. Because you can't treat other people different from other people. You can't. Yeah. Those who stay in the suburban village, it's okay. The last point. Do you know that with the total amount of money that FIFA is using in this country, the trade and industry has negotiated 30% set aside for the SMEs in this country? How much have you benefited out of that 30%? Because the DG is interested in that, because when the DTI was here, we were clear, because we knew that there's 30% of the total amount spent by FIFA in the country that is put aside for the SMEs. Gauteng is going to tell me how much have they benefited out of that 30%, and I want to hear the Northwest, how much have you benefited out of that 30%? That is my last question. The note here, it says, the tickets, those people who receive tickets, you must make sure that the workers get those two tickets, and not the friends of the contractors get the tickets. Because on the exercise, it will be said every worker there is going to get two tickets, but the tickets are given to the friends of the constructors. And that is a question. CST, please. No. Yes, ma'am.
No, Chair, I think on the 30% one, we humbly request that we provide the information to you by tomorrow. We will definitely check with the LET directorate
in the whole city and also from Bafokeng.
Because that 30%,
yes,
it's what we negotiated with trade and industry. But the 30% of the total amount is going to be spent by FIFA here. At least we must deliberately make sure the SMMEs and other people are benefiting out of. And the 30% was a big amount of money. So I want to check what was your portion there. Thank you. Whether it is equitable or it was on an environmental sensitivity and it is going to keep down the larger part of that amount.
The request of the honorable member will make it a point that the contractors deliver the tickets to the workers. I think that Ekuno is in charge of the process. He's really, really passionate about making sure that the contract, actually, even in December, we really made it a point that we throw a big party for the workers to thank them for the effort, because they worked during the period where contractors are not working.
Real Bafokeng, thanks very much. I can safely say we are almost next week, Friday, end of the month, would say we have delivered yet another miracle. Real Bafokeng is ready. Real Bafokeng, it was said to us, Orlando Stadium will not be ready. Nelson Mandela will not be ready. But those two provinces have been vindicated, because Nelson Mandela is ready and the Orlando Stadium has played, I think, more than 10 games there. But it was said it's not going to be ready for us to put the Confederation at us, Orlando. Yes.
Thank you very much.
It's Johannesburg.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think once my colleague is setting up, I will just give a very brief overview. And just to say that I think when Ms. Mazibuko got a letter inviting her to this meeting today, we both agreed that I should accompany her and give the necessary support that is needed. So she is going to make the presentation on our readiness in terms of the Confed Cup in June 2009. I'm basically the chairperson of the subcommittee of the mayor, responsible to oversee the preparation for 2010 in Johannesburg. And I can safely say, Chair, that indeed we believe that Johannesburg is ready to host the Confed Cup in June 2009. And we remain committed as well, Chair, to ensure that indeed we host the best ever Confed Cup, as well as the 2010 Soccer World Cup. And for us to do that, we remain committed to satisfy the three conditions that we've committed ourselves to. One, that of complying to the contractual obligations of FIFA. The second one, of making Confed Cup and the 2010 Soccer World Cup really the best fan experience ever. And the last one, that of ensuring that we leave a long-lasting legacy, a positive legacy, to the people of the city of Johannesburg when Confederation Cup and 2010 come and gone. Mrs. Mazibuko is basically going to touch on our preparedness in terms of the stadium, Soccer City. I think she will briefly touch on that, even though we are not using Soccer City for the Confed Cup, but for 2010. but I can safely say that on the 12th of February, the Mayara Lekhotla received a report that we are 65% complete in terms of the work happening at the Soccer City, the stadium itself, and that also there's good work in progress on the precinct development. She's going to briefly, talk to Ellis Park in detail in terms of the stadium as well as the precinct development and our readiness in as far as that is concerned. And we can safely say, Chair, that we are ready because Ellis Park Stadium was completed in January, and that FIFA came to inspect the stadium. They were happy and they pointed out areas of unhappiness, and the city is indeed addressing those areas. She will also touch on the training venues. As you know, we have four training venues, one being the Rain Stadium, a 24,000-seater. It has been completed and handed over last year in August, and the precinct development is underway, and hopefully we will finish in March 2009. And then we have the Orlando Stadium, and as you correctly say, Chair, we have completed Orlando Stadium, and the mayor inaugurated it in November last year. And we can safely say that it's indeed a world-class African venue for the 2010. Unfortunately, it's not going to be used for the Confederation Cup in June this year. The precinct development around Orlando is also in progress. We then have Dobsonville as well as Rensach. Dobsonville has been completed as a stadium, and then precinct development is in progress. We will start revamping the Rensach Stadium as the fourth training venue this current financial year, 2009 and 2010, once we then have the money from the budget office. And then she'll also talk to our readiness in terms of the infrastructure development, and I can safely say, Chair, that there's good progress. We are on track in terms of infrastructure. There is one or two challenges that we are experiencing. So we'll talk to safety and security issues as well as health. And these are clusters that I'm just trying to give an overview on. And I can safely say that on safety and security issues, we are on track. And I think the only challenge that we have is around disaster management, but we have plans to address that challenge. The fourth cluster is around marketing, the issues around fan parks, accommodation, tourism. Volunteers, she will brief you on that, Chairperson, and I can safely say that we are on track in as far as marketing is concerned, and she will elaborate on that. The fifth cluster is the Mayoral Legacy Projects, and we are on track on those projects. As you might have read, Soweto Theatre has now been launched. The development will begin very soon. The soccer fields, we continue to develop those and to leave that as a legacy for the people of Johannesburg and Soweto in particular and other areas. The Deep Blue Hostel, the street furniture, etc. So she will talk to those as well. But there's good progress in as far as Mayara Legacy Projects are concerned. And what is important here is that the private sector is supporting the city of Johannesburg in implementing these legacy projects. She will also then touch on the parallel events, and I can safely say, Chair, that we are on track on the Africa Under One Roof, on the Football for Hope in Alexandra, on the soccer legends. We now have 25 soccer legends who are officially registered as legends for the city, who are ambassadors of Confed Cup in 2010. For the city. She'll also brief us on the stakeholder mobilization in the city of Johannesburg. And lastly, she'll also touch on the operational focus areas, Chair, looking at the Confederation Cup itself in detail as well as the World Cup. But we can safely say that these areas are funded and the planning is in stage. She will also make reference to challenges, but we are saying as a subcommittee of the mayor that we really indeed need to work within our constraints to deliver the best ever World Cup. We have been listening, Chair, to the questions that we've asked with the honorable members, and I hope that Ms. Mazibuko will also be able to touch on some of the issues that we have raised, in particular the socio-economic benefit by our people. And I think that as a city, we are indeed ensuring that our people will benefit from this work. I will then hand over to Mrs. Mazibuko, Chair, and honorable members to take you through our readiness for the Confederation Cup. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Ngomaya Tulakosa.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Don't talk about the South African Airways, eh? Because unazika ubabu Lucas Okona, because uti ubabu Lucas. South African Airways is impacting on your preparations for the World Cup heavily to the international community because of those things that are going on there. And I think because it's your province, it's your city, is it Ekurhuleni or it's
Ekurhuleni, but we can't say we are not. We are concerned.
Yeah, I think those kind of things has to be dealt with. Then maybe in another level, we just have to understand this AXA thing. Who are those people, and then since when have they been the part of the South African Airways and all? And because you know, if you have somebody for life, you always get those things. I think since I started understanding and reading, I know that there is something called AXA at the airport, and it has been there for years. Huh? Okay. It's a wife. So at least you must file the divorce papers now. Yeah. But all the same, there's that little bit of a problem around the airport and the impression of other people outside about South African Airways. Let me tell you, sis, when you go to Brazil, there's a place called Sao Paulo. You land there, then you can go to either Argentina or any other place. When you come back, you land in Sao Paulo, and that flight will take you to O.R. Tambo Airport. It arrives at the O.R. Tambo early in the morning at about 7 o'clock after 7. You must see how police run when that airport, that flight arrives there. Because in Sao Paulo, everybody inside there has drugs. Because I don't know why is it so unpopular. If you have not gone to Brazil, I'm sure every person, when you come from that flight in the morning in winter, 7 o'clock, everybody runs for that flight. So there's always been not right things around. The plane that comes from outside now, it's worse now. It's planes that coming from South Africa to go to other countries. You know what other people are saying? By the way, it's one of those African countries. What were you expecting? That's what people are saying. What were you expecting? It's another Zimbabwe, South Africa, and all those things. So we must tackle those things with vigor. We must not apologize when we're dealing with those kind of things, because the impact on us will be like other countries, which anywhere in the world. When you come from Nigeria, I mean France, or in Germany, they look at you. There are two nations that definitely you will never pass the Heathrow Airport and the German Airport without not being searched. We were with an Indian fellow called Bula. Bula had to be arrested. I had to come back. God knows. I had to come back and explain. They said that I'm the head of this delegation. They said that this man is a Pakistan. I said, no, he's not a Pakistan. He's an Indian guy. And then he comes from South Africa. They said that, where is the ID? Show them the ID, but the ID, they don't believe on the ID, because in South Africa, you pick the ID anywhere in the street. You pick it up. And when you are as dark as I am, DG, they said that, Nigeria, now come here. Let's come and check you first. So let us not push South Africa to those kind of directions. It is wrong. Not yet.
The situation is so serious with SAA. Even when the SAA flight plane lands in Jamaica, they search it for Dhaka.
Because they want that Dhaka.
It's so serious.
Okay, it is. So, Mama Yatula, that is the view. Tina, at the sports level, we don't want anybody to be harassed because of those things and all that. And we don't want every person who comes to South Africa must have the impression that is going on there in South Africa. And when you meet Nomabulukas, they say, we are not going to vote for an appropriation to bail 1 billion to bail SAA. Because the head of the SAA is completely incapable, incompetent. Because every year you have to bail SAA. Why are you not bailing these other entities and then we're only looking at the SAA? And then we condone incompetency of people. So that's what people have been saying. So I'm saying let us guard against those kind of things. And Tinaka Sports, again, see, we're jealous. Jealously guarding the things that are impacting on us. Sis, go and learn about the Ambisapai FNB Stadium. Go. Okay, you're so chinchin and go get FNB Stadium when you wear the complexion. Galarina, bearing up in the phone and you're sis and Yama, not telling more as she. But all the same, you can go on.
Is the executive director for 2010 in the city.
Okay. Thanks, Sis Mori.
Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Members, my MMC, Councillor Nandi Matulakoza, the DG of the Sports and Rec Department, National, and my colleagues both at municipal and at national level. MMC, thank you very much for having introduced the presentation we're going to make. We've gone through this presentation and we followed in the presentation that we made to the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Members, in the same format, and we are covering the issues that the Portfolio Committee we had covered in the previous Portfolio Committee, showing where we are, and we have headed this particular presentation as a critical reminder where we need to be so that we can meet our vision as the City of Johannesburg. The vision that we've set ourselves is to host the best World Cup ever, and this we actually set it in a diagrammatical representation of the three concentric rings of success. The inner part of the ring is called the compliance, which is governed by all the contractual responsibilities that we have from the bid book, the host city agreement, the national guarantees. The second part of the concentric rings is the fan experience. The fan experience is what we actually say as a city, that this investment should go towards growing tourism and should also go towards growing foreign and direct investment in our country. And we also believe that this investment must actually position Joburg in particular and the country as a destination of choice to both tourists and visitors. The last part of the concentric rings, which is for us the most important one, is what legacy the hosting of the World Cup would leave to the City of Johannesburg, to the country and to the continent. We believe that one of the things that we need to do is once we actually comply with FIFA requirements, we actually need to build a lasting legacy for the citizens of Johannesburg. Our mayor, MMC, usually says that we need to host the World Cup and use the pressure that comes with the hosting of the World Cup to accelerate our own developmental challenges that we have. And you see that in Johannesburg, what we have done, we've continuously said to ourselves, what challenges do we have and how do we accelerate those challenges? Oh, thank you. And everything we do in terms of compliance must speak to the two outer rings, and that is why that slide chart or pie chart slide is actually representing. Yesterday we were 115 days towards Confederation Cup and 472 days towards the World Cup, and we remained counting, and we're very much aware of the challenges we have. Some of the challenges are external challenges, some of the challenges are internal challenges within the city and within its complexities. The challenges that we always focus ourselves at is that we have international the international financial climate with price escalation and the credit crunch. Some of the companies that are doing our stadiums are actually doing on important work, and that is why this credit crunch is so much a reality for us. The other challenge is national elections. We know that when we have national elections, there are competing needs and competing challenges around service delivery, and we always are aware of the fact that we need to actually assist our politicians to run an election to the communities without the challenges of always having to say the World Cup is taking all the resources. The other issue is the issue around the events visa. We, as Johannesburg, have serious challenges with xenophobia in the communities around expatriates, and we need to be saying how do we deal with these challenges, and also be aware that we actually have those challenges so that we don't sort of sweep our challenges underneath the carpet. We actually say what structures and programs do we build up towards meeting those challenges. The other part is the issue around the challenge that we had last year around the outbreak of communicable disease, and this challenge we're actually saying how do we actually equip our clinics, our private hospitals to deal with this particular challenge. I have referred to the balancing of competing needs in terms of service delivery in our residents, the managing of our own residents and the residents of their country, expectations in terms of how the World Cup would make our citizens rich and meet that their game. The other challenge that we are always aware of is the national BRT protest that, and the pressure that comes to it. The city of Johannesburg is the only city that is rolling out BRT, and that would have the BRT functioning in the Confederations Cup. That's where the only city amongst the three cities that are rolling out BRT, which would actually host the Confederation Cup, but which would have also the first phase of their BRT being a reality on that day. And you'd see, Chair, when I, and honorable members, when I actually go through the transport slide as to what progress we're making in terms of the BRT, and you also see that we've started rolling out stations. But the pressure that we are envisaging, even despite the fact that we've now entered into contracts with our own taxi industry, is that it's a national pressure. We actually expect the national taxi associations to put a pressure towards the BRT. Our mayor spends... I think it's engagement more than ama police. The point we're making is that our mayor is spending quite a lot of time engaging with the taxi industry, but this, and we are also appreciative of the work that the national minister is doing in terms of engaging this cost, but it's a cost that we need to be very careful on, and we need to actually put into our management strategy of risk. The MNC spoke about the clusters. When we talk about 2010 in the city of Johannesburg, we approach it on the basis of the clusters that we have in front of you. The first cluster is the venues and precincts, and in Johannesburg we have two venues. The second cluster is the transport and infrastructure, ICT and environment. The third cluster is the safety and security and disaster management. The fourth cluster is the issue around fan parks, public viewing sites, accommodation, and what we call volunteers, business closure, and city beautification. The fifth cluster is what we refer to as Joburg specific projects, which is a mayoral legacy project, and we've created our own sixth cluster, what we actually refer to as the spin-offs of what does this investment bring to the Johannesburg environment as the return of investment. And these are the areas where we actually say these are the spin-offs that we want to see out of the hosting of the event. Just one issue that is not in that category of spin-off is the International Broadcasting Center, which is actually the right that we've won in hosting that particular facility in the south of Johannesburg in Nasrec. The other area of focus, they changed by every time. Our focus area currently is the Confederation Cup, which is real in the next 142 days, and the World Cup. Chairperson, honorable members, where are we today? In terms of overview, in terms of stadiums and precincts, if one would take a bird's eye view, we are of the view that we are, in terms of stadiums and training venue, we are on schedule. Most of them are completed. in particular the training venues and one of our venue itself, and are nearing completions. The precincts are under construction and we're meeting all the milestones that you set for us. The infrastructure, in particular the category A infrastructure, we've actually set ourselves that we would complete this infrastructure, because this is infrastructure that is critical to the venues that are hosting the World Cup, both the venue, the match venues and the training venue, but also the venues like your hotels and so on. And you would actually see when I unpack this particular category A infrastructure. The other area, the issue around safety and security, we are well on track. We still have, and the MMC has referred to this, the challenges with our disaster management. And the reason really we have a challenge is just to put in together a fully functional disaster management center with an operation center for the BRT. And the project is becoming bigger than we have envisaged, and when engaging with our provincial government in terms of saying what if they could actually host the stopgap measure for the Confed Cup, so that when we come to the World Cup, the Disaster Management Center and the Control Center would be functioning. Chair and honourable members, you might know that Gauteng has a disaster management centre in Midrand, which is in the city of Johannesburg, and would want to partner with them in this. As a stopgap measure for the BRT that would be rolling out at the time of the Confederation Cup, would be using our Johannesburg Roads Agency command centre to actually command these buses. We think that it is critical that these buses become monitored as they drive through our streets and as they pick up passengers even at night. The marketing strategy, we've now reached an operational plan in it, and we're rolling out our marketing strategy, and you see where we are actually are in terms of our operational rollout. The mayoral legacy projects, we're making good progress. We've now unleashed and engaged with private sector, and the involvement of private sector is picking up. It's picking up in terms of these legacy projects. Parallel events, we're on track. Chairperson, we actually hosted the final draw of the Confederation Cup last year, November. At the same time, we also hosted the Miss World. The two international brands actually shared a stage, and the word ambush marketing was not used by either of them. Thus, these things are possible where we can actually see synergies between brands. Chair, if I can then move to the actual projects that we are doing. Soccer City Chair is, as the MMC has said, is 65% complete, and we actually have started dressing up the calabash. The calabash is now, as we speak, is actually rolling out there, and in fact, last week it was actually 30%. You start beginning to see the actual colors of the South African soil. You remember, Chair, when we actually did the design, we actually said the calabash will be braced with the colors of the South African soil, all the different pigmentations of the South African soil. The seeds have now been rolled out. Chair, everyone, when talks about Soccer City, talks about an upgrade, and we want to make this point, Chair, that this is a real, not an upgrade, because even the lower embankment, which is that part of the stadium, had to be redone because of a number of issues. You remember, Chair, that FNB Stadium, as you knew, it was not roofed. That's the concrete in those areas started crumbling in when we started doing the piles. The piles themselves could not take the design. As our colleagues know, that we argue that this is a huge development or redevelopment of this particular facility. If you go to Soccer City now, you see a facility that you've never seen before.
Okay, why in Parliament records it is said you are doing renovation?
Chair, it's a technical term. I'm not sure why.
It can be a technical. It cannot be a technical term when, in essence, the work that you are saying has been done there is almost the complete redone of everything. Yes. Because when I can give you the even from National Treasure, it says FNB, it's renovation.
Chairperson, and that's why I'm saying it's a technical term. The stadium existed on the same site. It's like Orlando, Chair. What we did at Orlando, we demolished Orlando altogether, and we reconstructed the stadium. Now this one, we didn't demolish it. As you'd see some piles of the previous Soccer City. But I can show you, Chair, that this is a total demolition of the existing stadium, the previous stadium. And Chair, I'm not arguing the technical terms, but the reality is that if you go to the facility now, the record would show that this is a major redevelopment of a stadium. Chair, we actually are expecting some overruns, and we are engaging in with our own treasury. We are also engaging with the Department of Sports in relation to those overruns. We actually, the biggest issue that has affected us was actually the foreign exchange and the fluctuation and the weakening of the rand. Chair, the biggest challenge that we had in this particular stadium was the steel costs, and we actually have engaged with our colleagues, and the facts are in front of them. Chair, in terms of the roof, just to make the point that I'm making earlier on is that if you look at that particular lower course of the stadium, which would actually have been the historic existing Soccer Cities or FNB Stadium, you'll see that it has been redone. All the tunnels have been redone because the tunnels collapsed, and the upper level is a new upper level. The only part of the existing stadium that is part of, I don't know if the honorable members can see, but from here it's quite black. The only part of the stadium that existed before is only that part of the stadium. The other part has actually been redone. The city has been actually redone. On the pitch, what you see in front of you, Chair, there is actually the new drainage. The pitch has been totally removed. It's the red drainage and the irrigation system that has been put up in the Soccer City Stadium. Chair, I'm not going to waste time. Your briefing was about the Confederation Cup, but safe to say that in the inside of the stadium, the interior part of the stadium, we've started demarcating the suites, and the suites are now, the 240 suites that we promised to the department are now a reality. The main stadium for the Confederation Cup, where the opening and closing ceremony of the Confederation Cup would happen, is at Ellis Park. We are today, as the MMC has said, gone through the inspection by FIFA. We actually had a visual completion certificate handed to us in end of December before the builders' holidays by the contractors. We requested the contractors to stay on site until FIFA has done the inspection. The MMC has indicated that FIFA has actually done their final snag listing. We actually are handing over to the LOC next week for their overlay work. You would appreciate, Chair, that Telkom has already moved in on site to do their rollout of their cables in their Telkom room. And Chair, we believe that the work that we promised the department to do, in particular in this stadium, was done within the budget that has been allocated to us. Chair, the work that was done in terms of that slide is the parking. And in terms of that slide, it's actually the new North Pavilion that was done. Chair, just to give another feel, we actually replanted the grass when the Confederation Cup was hosted. The final draw of the Confederation Cup was hosted. The Miss World Beauty Pageants went to Soccer City, and they were actually playing a beach football on the pitch, because the pitch was actually scraped out, and we've now replanted it. In fact, in the last 2 weeks, rugby was played on this pitch. Chair, if I then need to go to the cluster in terms of precincts, the match precincts, which is Soccer City as one of them, and I'm not going to waste your time, Chair. Safe to say that the precinct projects that needed to be done are currently rolling out, and most of them are above the 50% level of mark. With the work that is being done by our National Department of Transport, which is the station, also reaching a very high level of percentage. Chair, in terms of the Soccer City precinct, when you go on site now, you actually see a precinct under construction, and this is the same as the Ellis Park precinct. Just one thing, Chair, that I needed to indicate is that you'd also remember that the International Broadcasting Center is allocated or located in this particular site. We had challenges last year in terms of the housing development for the media village. We've now have resolved that problem. The city has now gone into a private sector, a partnership with the private sector for the development of those units, and the site has been handed over to the private developer at the end of January, and the construction will start soon. Chair, I'm not going to waste your time in terms of the Ellis Park precinct things to say that the line that you see in the middle there, this is your exclusion zone, and it's defined by specific roads. And you see, Chair, when we talk about our compliance area, our bylaws were approved and they've been promulgated in the provincial bylaw, and these bylaws talk to both the legislations that you've referred to in terms of access for laws, for local tradesmen into the areas in terms of controlled access, and we've designated areas where these particular locals would actually be able to do their own business in the area. Chair, the other part that I need to indicate is that in terms of bulk transport in the precinct, we have the BRT, which is when you drive through the Ellis Park precinct now, it's a big construction site. Most of our roads are actually under construction, and we've been in the media for the past 2 weeks in a very unfavorable position because of some of the road work that is being done in that area, and the community is actually really feeling the pinch. But we also know that in terms of that work, there is hope on the other side, because the BRT would actually alleviate the traffic and the road congestions that we experience on a time and time again. The other work that is being done is done by our National Department of Transport, which is the Doornfontein Station, in particular the Commuter Rail Corporation. Chair, if I then could move to our training venues. The training venues in Johannesburg are for the MMC, as indicated. Three of them have been completed and have been handed over for the city, being Orlando, Dobsonville, and Rand. The fourth one is Rainsach, is due and scheduled for slight, Chair, those are renovations, slight renovations for the year, financial year 2009-2010. For the Confederation Cup, we are using Orlando and Rand for the training venues, and FIFA is actually looking at Dobsonville as part of the overflow or standby training venue. In terms of evidence of where we are, Orlando, we started by demolishing it, and this is where we started. When I was in front of this committee some time back, in our first presentation to this committee, we were actually at that stage. Chair, today Orlando looks like that slide. It's actually, as the MMC, the Honourable MMC has indicated, is a world-class facility that we are really proud of. It's in the middle of Soweto, and it gives quite a lot of a good feeling to the citizens of Soweto. It has also raised the levels of tourism that actually goes into that facility to look at the tourism of it. Chair, I believe that this particular facility compares very, very highly and more favorable than some of the facilities that we saw hosting the Euro. This game was a game between Orlando Pirates Chair, it wasn't Chiefs, it was Zulu Royal. And we actually had the mayor, after the singing of the national anthem, this was the immediately before the kickoff, and the players were actually lining up for the kickoff, and the mayor together with Dr. Koza inspected the facility. Chair, this game was a game between Kaizer Chiefs and Silver Stars, and Chair, we were actually very, very happy with the particular attendance of this particular game. We experienced, in particular in this game, some level of challenges in terms of public transport, and at the kick-off of the game, the stadium was not full, but by 15 minutes into the game, the stadium was at full capacity. And the reason why we always refer to this picture is just to show that we still need to deal with some of the transport challenges that we have in the city. This was a game between Swallows, Chair, in the city of Johannesburg. When we talk about football, they always want to talk about Chiefs and Pirates, and I have to remind them that Swallows is a team that comes from Johannesburg.
Chair, that is all about
that. The next one is Dobsonville. Dobsonville, Chair, is a facility also in Soweto. We've actually started upgrading the pavilion. For the first time, we have suites in the Dobsonville Stadium. It's actually having a facility like a athletic tracks, and we've actually upgraded the athletic. We've in fact relayed the athletic tracks. We finalized the changing of the seats, and the stadium floodlights have also been changed. Rand, I think, Chair, this is one of the facilities that makes me feel proud to have worked in this project, because if you talk about football in South Africa, and you mentioned Dawson, Orlando, and you must mention Rand to talk about the complete picture of football. And we've actually managed to finalize the stadium, and it's actually completed, and the precinct is due to be completed in March. Rensburg is the one that is currently going to go through a minor upgrade of 10 million rands. And what we are doing there is painting the walls, changing some of the seats, and also changing some of the lines in terms and maintaining the pitch. So in terms of just in this slide, we need to actually focus it again in terms of the questions that the members have asked, in terms of how many jobs have we created, how many BEE companies and SMMEs have benefited. Chair, I don't have the slide on the SMMEs, but we can actually give the numbers. We've shared with the Department of Sports. If you would want to have, we've also commissioned Grant Thornton to look at all our projects to say how many BEEs have actually received the money. This particular slide is for the second quarter of 2008-2009, and it's just for that quarter that we're saying these are the jobs that we've created. Overall, yes, Chair. Chair, can I explain? You'd also see that like I said, that this is the quarter two, which is from between October and December, and most of these stadiums were actually reaching completion. That is why you see the numbers. But it's a good question, Chair, but look at the next one. We still have a problem with disabilities, people with disability, which is the second quarter, and in particular with the other projects, we need to work on the disabilities. In the construction industry, there's always this myth that says people with disabilities cannot access some of the areas, but I think we need to work on it, and it's an area that we need to improve on. But Chair, we note that, but also you should remember that Ellis Park at this stage was reaching completion. Now, Chair, what we are doing, and this is these two slides, we've put them in there to show that we're monitoring these things on a quarterly basis, and accumulatively we'll be able to give the department a very, very good picture of how many jobs were done, in what categories. The MMC has been very strict that we must, even if it's embarrassing, we must actually include those figures. And where it's nil, we must say it's nil for that quarter. And we need to be honest about it, because it gets
real. Lerat, do you see this breakdown? Hey, when we're through with the Confederation, I want this breakdown of Johannesburg, so that at least Simbono or Mama Abakamle Abungobani. This is a good reflection, Cecilia. When the President speaks on the state of the nation about job creation, poverty eradication, and all that, we as sports people must say, in that big cake, this is our input to that big cake for job creation.
Yes. Chairperson, we note what the panel has asked in terms of small businesses. We will provide you the information, but in this slide we actually just looked at employment and the areas of work where the categories of workers were actually skilled at, because we also were going through a skilling program. And Chair, I keep on saying this is just for one quarter, and this information is being accumulated on a quarterly basis. In terms of training venue precincts, we're working on training venue precincts, Orlando being the one that we started with. The lighting, the walkways are now completed. The Metro Rail station is under construction and is scheduled for completion by the National Department of Transport in December 2009.
The next one is Dobsonville, the paving of walkways has now been completed. The pedestrian mall has now been done. The pedestrian and the taxi area is one area that we are busy working on now. Rand, Chair, I need to indicate that one of the areas that is the biggest challenge in Rand is actually the areas, the neighboring area, because of the fact that it's in the south of the CBD. That's the challenge that has been put to us by the mayoral committees to try and rehabilitate that area for the Confederation Cup. In terms of the challenges and the legacy that the all the venues would present in terms of going back to the three concentric rings, we've documented it, and on an ongoing basis we're documenting how these particular three concentric rings are being affected. The infrastructure, Chair, I'm not going to waste your time. Safe to say that we are working in all the infrastructure areas to look at all the venues, including the hotels, in terms of the Category A projects. And in terms of the Category A projects, Chair, I would actually list them for each entity which is in the city. The electricity, we're installing and we're commissioning the distribution of lights in the Nazareth precinct and in the Ellis Park precinct. We have a specific designs of these precincts, their lights. If you go drive to Suffer House, you'll see there's a specific design, and if you go to the area of Ellis Park, there's a specific design. In particular, in the Ellis Park area, Chair, there has been a challenge in relation to the lights. You remember that in one of the games in Ellis Park, we had a blackout, and we're looking at the power station both in Soccer City and in Ellis Park. In water, Chair, our biggest challenge has been the water pressure in the Ellis Park Stadium, and in that area, Chair, we actually are looking at the Yeovil water reservoir, and the work has been started in terms of increasing the pipes with that are actually supplying that particular reservoir. Chair, the BRT, or the Bus Rapid Transit System in Johannesburg, is actually, in particular, the Phase 1A, which is going to be commissioned for the Confederation Cup, is currently moving ahead very nicely. We actually have all the links that needed to be done, with the Soweto Highway being the first one to be completed, and the other projects, including the inner city distribution system, which I said earlier on is putting quite a lot of pressure in the inner city, is now commissioned, and we're actually moving ahead. Chair, the Honorable Mayor and the Honorable Minister of Transport launched the Bus Rapid Transit System station in the inner city of Johannesburg. The design is what you see in front of you. I'm not sure if it's very visible with the lights in front of the screens, but safe to say that it actually is a replica, or it represents the design of the Nelson Mandela Bridge. These stations are going to be a station for every 500 meters apart, and they would actually change the landscape of the city of Johannesburg. 2 weeks back, we tested the first bus of the BRT to actually drive through the roads and to also take measurements in the station itself, and we actually have seen the first bus in the city of Johannesburg in preparation for the Confed Cup. Chair, the BRT, in terms of funding, is funded by the National Department of Transport. In terms of implementation, the city of Johannesburg, but we also know that the taxi industry plays a very, very important and meaningful role in terms of having this particular infrastructure rolling. This is the Joubert Park station. Chair, in terms of transport, the area of work that we're busy dealing with now is the operational plan, in particular of the BRT system. You'd appreciate, Chair, that the BRT operational plan involves the issue around ticketing, involves the issue around scheduling, and involves the issue around safety and security, and also how we'd want to test this particular infrastructure for the Confederation Cup and learn out of the Confederation Cup in terms of the tests that we'd be doing in terms of post-event improvements that we need to do. Chair, I want to move to the transport infrastructure in the Nazareth area. You would actually appreciate, Chair, that the National Department is doing the upgrade of the N17, which is the on and off ramp on the Soweto Highway. In the past, the Soweto Highway could only be accessed through the N12 and the N1, which was actually a security implementation of the previous government. Now the National Department is opening the access of Soweto through multiple of access to the Soweto area, and which we really appreciate. One of our biggest investments in transport is the park and ride facilities. We are actually doing a park and ride next to Rand Stadium, and we're also doing a park and ride at Vets University. But the city has also done an upgrading of its own facility, which is a park in the inner city next to Rand Stadium, next to Ellis Park, where we've actually improved our own park to actually be able to take a load of buses, also to comply with FIFA, but also to actually alleviate transport within the Ellis Park precinct. The other area of infrastructure is the IT&T of the IBC. So when we were here, we're actually showing you designs. Today I want to indicate that the telecom part of the fiber layout is now completed. It's actually standing at the boundaries of the International Broadcasting Center, which is Nasrec. The biggest work that needs to be done is the Centec work, which is the work that needs to be done in terms of the release of land from the Department of Public Works for the Centec port satellite farm to actually be developed in the Nasrec area. Chair, we believe that Centec would be able to facilitate and finalize these negotiations so that they can be ready to roll out the satellite farm. Safe to say, Chair, that we are advised by Centec that they've actually started procuring the equipment itself for this particular satellite farm. Chair, just to give a sense of the work that we're doing in terms of this layout plan, this would be the completed stadium in terms of the final design. This would actually be the promenade that would link the facility of the stadium to the IBC. Earlier on, I spoke about the housing development, which is actually the design that is there. And here is the transport hub and the train station that the National Department of Transport is upgrading. Chair, I've indicated that in terms of IT&T infrastructure, one of the things that we're busy dealing with in partnership with the National Department of Communication is the question of saying, how do we use that infrastructure going forward? After the fiber is laid on the ground, how do we actually use that fiber together with the satellite farm that would actually be on that precinct to accelerate connectivity in Soweto? Chair, you'd all appreciate that, and members would all appreciate that Soweto is developing at a very, very accelerated rate. But the biggest challenge you have in Soweto is the issue around telecom connectivity and internet connectivity. And we believe that this particular infrastructure would give the city of Johannesburg an opportunity to address these challenges and would actually reduce the cost of doing business for the south of Johannesburg.
Just asked me, I'm having a problem. He's asking me what is fiber and how is fiber connected to sports? So, could you just explain to him? Let me tell you what this is. These connections are the ones that are going to assist in the beaming of the sports and also transmitting kuwe radios. So, kuwe power organize communications. A farm next to Nazareth. Okay, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, for actually explaining. It's quite very true that over and above the 1.4 million people that will be watching the games at the stadium, there are 3 billion people that will be watching the games on televisions across the world. Environment, Chair, we are actually working very hard in terms of making this particular event a green event. We are actually rolling out a waste management strategy in all our stadiums in terms of recycling. You would appreciate, Chair, that we have Soccer City next to mine dumps, and we're greening these mine dumps, and we've actually tested the grass that can grow on these mine dumps, and we're greening them. The mayor has, as one of his legacy projects, promised the citizens of Johannesburg in the south that he's going to plant 200,000 trees by 2010, and to date we've planted more than 100,000 of those trees in the Soweto area. Chair, in terms of the city beautification, I indicated that the mayor has promised 200,000 trees. Today we've planted 132,000 trees. We're also the same as our counterparts in Rustenburg, beautifying the entrance areas within the Soweto area, but we are also upgrading our parks. Chair, I think the MMC should have said this, but we don't have the challenge of people using amabhodwe amnyama in Johannesburg, in particular in our parks. Maybe in our roads, but in our parks, we actually have really, really good workers to date. We have actually implemented extreme parks, Chair, and these extreme parks would be used as part of our public viewing sites so that we can actually roll out the screens in our parks. One of them is in Deep Kloof, and the one that you see in front of you is the Deep Kloof Park, and that board converts into a screen, and it actually shows games on as a public viewing site. And this is actually going to assist us in rolling out the World Cup to the communities like Deep Slot, Orange Farm, and so on. Safety and security, Chair, when we talk about Joburg, the biggest challenge we always have is the safety and security issue. The mayor has actually undertaken to increase the numbers of JMPD to 4,000 by 2010. We also have actually taken them through the training program in terms of what work needs to be done by 2010. We've actually created a riot protection unit. We've also, as I said earlier on, promulgated our bylaws, and we are rolling out event-specific directional signs, both for the BRT and for the ordinary streets in the city of Johannesburg. Chair, the issue around funding is always the biggest issue around how the national funds for safety and security would be rolled out per whole city and what equipment would be coming to each whole city. And this point, Chair, is a speed point that we need to engage in on an ongoing basis, in particular now that we come to the event-specific issues. It's quite important that we know how many officers would be deployed to each venue, even at national level, the SAPS, and the army, and so on, so that we, as part of our planning, we know what we should expect from our counterparts at national level. Marketing, Chair, we at the City of Johannesburg have two official fan parks, which is the Innisfree Park in the north and Elka Stadium in south, which is the south of Johannesburg. In Elka Stadium, Chair, we are actually upgrading our sports and recreation site, and we are putting in facilities for the public viewing site. We believe that this is actually going to rejuvenate that area. It's very close to Thokoza Park, and it's a park that is very, very highly patronized by our citizens. We believe, Chair, that we would actually use these fan parks and also what I refer to as the street or city screens, which we're doing in our parks to accelerate or to build the euphoria of the World Cup in our communities.
Yellow seven,
in terms of the public viewing site, we have a public viewing site in Meredith's General Square, and we have two public viewing sites, both in the north and in the south, and the Walter Sisulu Square of Dedication would be another public viewing site in the city of Johannesburg. Accommodation, Chair, last time when we were here, we gave the committee and the members and the honourable members and the chair a list of the 135 hotels that we have in Johannesburg and the B&Bs that we actually have. What we are trying to emphasise, Chair, that this particular inventory has increased. We have to date 19 new hotels that are being developed in Joburg. Some of them have opened, some of them would open in the 2009 for the Confed Cup, and some of them would open in 2010. The biggest challenge that we are looking at is how do we keep these facilities fully occupied post the World Cup, and how do we keep these new jobs that would be created in these facilities retained and sustainable through beyond the World Cup. Marketing and tourism, Chair, the city of Johannesburg has developed a number of strategies to enhance or to leverage from the World Cup. One of them is the Miss World. Chair, you'd also appreciate that over this weekend, we, for the first time after some long time, we also have the A1 Grand Prix going back to its roots in Johannesburg, and we're very excited. Fortunately, Chair, I can say this, Durban is not here. We actually think that it must stay there forever. Chair? My colleagues in Rustenburg indicated that all host cities launched the city posters. In Johannesburg, we've gone a step ahead. We've actually put our whole city poster on our municipal building. It's actually a 8 meter by 40 meters size poster. It actually creates now the landscape of Johannesburg. We've also rolled out screens in the city of Johannesburg, in particular the electronic screens in our area where our World Cup countdown clock is being actually marketed. Our website is actually rolling and we update our website on a daily basis. The city beautification chair, I'm not going to waste time, safe to say that they are very, very deliberate moves to actually use the pressure that gives comes with the hosting of the World Cup to change our landscape, to introduce new art effects in our streets. These are actually in the inner city of Johannesburg and in the south of Johannesburg. If you drive into the entry of Soweto using the Chris Hani Drive next to Baragwanath, you start beginning to see the impact of the street of the city beautification strategy. The volunteers, the city of Johannesburg has been allocated 1,500 volunteers for the Confed Cup. We actually have done the recruitment process. We are now in the interview process and will be going into the training. Our own politicians have indicated to us that we need to identify specific languages around which languages would actually be additionally trained to our own volunteers. Chair, the point we're making is that all volunteers would actually look the same across the country, but we need to actually have Joburg-specific training for these particular volunteers. Business closure, Chair, this is one issue that is engaging us quite closely now, and I think Rustenburg has referred to. Our bylaw has now been promulgated and is now being gazetted. We've now trained our JMPD in Rights Protection Unit. We are scoping the business closure costs. Chair, you'd appreciate that within the exclusion zone, you'd have businesses that would have to close on the World Cup. Rustenburg spoke about their shopping mall. With us, we have China City at Ellis Park. They have since agreed to close on the match days at no cost, but the Vodacom fine on Ponte is our biggest challenge. They're actually wanting to be compensated for their closure, and this is what we're dealing with. The Mayoral Legacy Project, Chair, I'm going to move very fast, as I indicated that there are 7 of them, and where we are today in terms of greening of soccer fields, we've greened 52 of the 101 soccer fields, and we hope that in this financial year we actually would green more. These are, the project is to plant grass, the irrigation system, develop changing rooms at these facilities. These are facilities within the previously disadvantaged communities, and we believe that we are bringing back the dignity of our communities by bringing them decent playing facilities for the game. The only project in terms of the mayoral legacy project that has not kick-started is the indoor swimming pool in Soweto. We have applied for MIG, Chair, and we also would like to request our colleagues in sports to support our MIG application. This project, Chair, is important for the sustainability of the Orlando Stadium because we believe that going forward we might be able to bid for other games, and we should be able to have a complementary facility within Soweto with all the sporting codes. And we believe, Chair, that Soweto deserves a world-class swimming pool, and you see, Chair, why we believe it's so important for us. Chair, when I was here last year, I indicated that the other legacy project is the Soweto Theatre. At that stage, we had only scoped it. The executive mayor on the 10th of February turned the soil on this particular infrastructure. We now have private sector funding. We actually are looking into putting our own funding in this financial year. The Honorable Minister of Arts and Culture graced the occasion and picked up the shovel and actually turned the soil. The contractors are on site and we're developing the first theatre in Soweto, and we believe that the community of Soweto, in honour of a number of artists, actually deserve this particular facility. The upgrading of the Deep Kloof Hostel is one of those legacy projects. The important part about the upgrading of the hostel is that most of the tourists, when they come to Soweto, they actually pass Dikto Forstel to see the legacy of apartheid and how this current government is dealing with that legacy. To date, we've developed 136 of these units, and we actually think that 2,778 residents would benefit out of this particular project. Since furniture, I'm not going to waste your time, safe to say that we've actually touched on it and we're rolling out the street furniture rollout, in particular in the Hillbrook barrier area, which is going to be quite a high area of attendance from our brothers and sisters in Africa. No, Chair, this is the Klerksdorp River. Chair, when I was here, we indicated that we are rehabilitating the Klerksdorp River and we're developing the Klerksdorp River as a legacy project. This particular project is now reaching a huge scale, in particular with the areas of Thokoza Park that was developed in the WSSD. Today, the Mapetla node has been finalized. This financial year, we would actually be doing the part of the Klerksdorp River, which is actually the Orlando the Orlando Klerksdorp Valley River node for the development in this financial year. Chair, in terms of our contribution to the African legacy of the World Cup, we're having a project called the Africa Under One Roof, which is the Artists of Africa. We've scoped this project. We now have a private sector investor. We would want to attract all artwork from all Africa to come and exhibit in our own Africa Museum as part of the World Cup parallel event. We believe, Chair, that we would be able to touch all the Africans in the African countries, and would believe that they would be able to exhibit their best. And this particular art would also be sold as part of the Johannesburg initiative at curio shops in the north of Johannesburg, but would also be sold in the venues themselves. We've got FIFA's approval on this, and these artists would then get the FIFA's right of branding and the FIFA's own exhibition in their website for this particular art. The other parallel event is actually the Boys in the Photograph, which is a theatrical movie by Andrew or Lord Webber. It's going to be executed at Johannesburg at the Joburg Theatre during the World Cup. Today, we've sold more than 3,000 of these particular tickets. We also are talking to FIFA as part of their corporate sponsors to actually take bookings for this particular theatre show during the World Cup. We have 6 days dedicated to government and the city during this particular World Cup so that the government and the city could actually entertain their guests. The last one, Chair, is the issue around the Football for Hope, which is a FIFA event. It's a FIFA corporate social event, which would actually be hosted in Alexander. We've started upgrading the Three Square Center in Alexander, and the housing part is moving ahead quite dramatically. Chair, this is one of the areas of my passion, and I'm moving towards the end. We've, through the city, gone out and actually investigated all the legends of soccer that played soccer when soccer was not a compensating sport or a remunerating sport. 25 of them, some of them were actually coming from the disadvantaged angle, who actually were not earning any cent in their own personal capacity. They've now been put into the salary payroll of the city. 26 of them are receiving a salary from December last year. And in this particular event, when we launched Orlando Stadium, they also played a game with against one another. And we believe that, Chair, it's one of the promises that the executive mayor had made to the legends as part of the demolition of Orlando, that they would be the first ones to kick the ball in Orlando Stadium. And, Chair, our commitment has been realized, and these are now our partners to roll out the World Cup. Chair, part of our... Chair, one of the things that we're busy with is the stakeholder mobilization. It's a focus point of how we mobilize our communities. Our communities are our biggest stakeholders. They go out and actually inspect our facilities as part of development. And this is one of the programs that we did as part of the 1,000 days celebrations, when we took all our stakeholders from different areas of the city to go and inspect these facilities so that they can actually bear testimony of the work we are doing. Chair, this is my last slide. In conclusion, Chair, we believe that as the city of Johannesburg, we are on track, and under the leadership of the executive mayor and the MMCs that are given the responsibility of driving this program, we believe, Chair, that we actually have to continuously being very vigilant about the challenges we have and managing those challenges. And we believe, Chair, that within the constraints of our challenges, we'll actually not fail in delivering the best World Cup ever. And we believe Kinako. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, you see, when you have resources, you do things that make people not to ask questions, because you have resources, and then you are the city in the African continent. So, you are demonstrating that you are the real city in the country and in Africa. Babu Lukasi observed Bangilizwe and Honorable Law in that room.
Thanks very much, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I must anchor your thanks for this good presentation. I think, and the mayoral project, I think that is very encouraging. I think that's very, very good. It's excellent. However, there's 2 points. One is the greening of the mine dumps. Why does the mining houses come to the party? Because those mine dumps are their responsibility. That is an environmental issue, and I think we should look at that, because they're the causes of that problem. The other thing about that is the finances. It is very important, and I think that has been mentioned in the presentation, the sustainability of these projects, which is very important. That's why in the first program I mentioned a shortfall. Because if there's a shortfall, you start on the wrong foot. So what's going to happen about making sure that these projects are all sustainable? That is, I think, very done. And considering the meltdown in the global economy.
Mangilis?
Oh, mine is very simple.
Honorable Mangilis.
And very friendly. It's the question of terminology. I think I keep on raising this with this Johannesburg, city of Johannesburg. I don't know, maybe it's a new term. We're no longer talking of metros. But I would want to get an explanation why this approach, or it's just for branding purposes. I like it, but when we talk of, you know, cities, and then I don't know what is a good word, you know. Chair, as I said, look, in the presentation, both the presentations were exceptionally good, and we are encouraged by the progress that has been made. It makes us very proud. One aspect that that was in the presentation is the crisis that can impact the city, the outbreak of communicable disease. I would have loved to hear more. I know that Johannesburg receives their water from Vaal Dam, and there are serious problems with regard to water management. I think there have been a lot of articles produced around that. I would be happy to share from the city of Johannesburg what measures are being taken to ensure that one of those outbreaks, such as cholera, won't be there. Chair, the second thing is, I noted the national bus rapid transit, and I was happy the way it was presented. I think it was going very well until Port Elizabeth had problems, and it started to affect us in Gauteng. But I think there's a real great progress there, and I think the city has got the capacity to deal with that. Chair, as you would know, there's this whole thing about safety and security, the challenges with disaster management. I think at some point we need to hear very clearly what is actually happening with regard to disaster management. And I hear the partnership between the city and the province. I don't know what kind of partnership we're talking about, because there's a clear legislation that ask for integration and working together. There are clear specific roles that each have to play. But I would like to hear what is the partnership, what does that mean? Chair, the last thing that I wanted to raise, I would have liked to, probably when they were dealing with disaster management, with firefighting, I incidentally met with firefighters, particularly from Ekurhuleni and Johannesburg. They had a lot of reservations, a lot of issues around their infrastructural equipment that they have, the vehicles that they have, and the number of people who work for them. So maybe I would like to hear more if these matters, as far as firefighting is concerned, have ever been raised with the City of Johannesburg. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
All right, Chief.
Thanks, Chair.
Chair, firstly, just like to, because Comrade Solo doesn't know where Rheinsach is in Gauteng. He comes from Gauteng, by the way.
No, man, it's near Bukhuli.
Yes, maybe when you deal with the responses, you can tell me where exactly where Rheinsach is. Chair, coming to my questions, Chair. The first one is just a concern. You mentioned that there is this myth about disabled people working in construction. And as a result, according to one of your slides, it shows zero. Yeah, in this quarter. You know, yeah. And we just could not explain why, other than saying that this month, I'm not happy about that. Because disabled people are one of those components, you know, in terms of balancing. So really, I'm not happy. Whether it is the first quarter, second quarter, whatever. Yes, it must be constant. The other one, Chair, is, you know, really, it's about Hillbro. According to your list of accommodation, especially hotels, Hillbro is not mentioned. You know, in the past, before you know Joburg, you must know Hillbro. But now, lately, before you know Joburg, you must know Sandton. And when I asked Solo, he told me that, no, Hillbro is an urban slum. I don't know what it means. But Chair, in the presentation, when you were dealing with tourism, this is a question that I also wanted to ask the people from Northwest. 3 weeks ago, there was a conference in Hillbro. We can't run forever away from this issue. There was this conference, the first of its kind in Africa. It was held in Hillbro. In this conference, it was one of the issues for discussions was these two events. The Confed Cup and the World Cup. How are these people going to be involved in all these things? This conference was called by women from the continent, and it was attended not only by women. And one would have expected that tourism industry would have been present because it's tight amongst people, you know. And also the Department of Sports, especially the chairperson, maybe, and also the Department of Labor, because it deals with employment. And employment. I can see that you are wondering what this conference was all about, what is this conference was. Yes, this conference was important, particularly in the last World Cup in Germany, which was held in Germany. One of the most important components of the participants in that World Cup were exactly these people. But not
exactly these people, you know, but people from this tribe. Yes. Now, these ones.
Sorry, who are those people?
I'm coming to that. You are just in a hurry. Yes. Now, this conference was preceded by a series of workshops. And these workshops dealt with the issue of employment, issues of the visa, issues of accommodation and protection. This conference was called by women. And one of the issues was the red zone. Yes. Whether in all these hosting cities there will be red zones. You know, especially for the protection of these people, you know. And I'm sure you can just make out what I'm talking about. Yes. Yeah. It's very important, especially when it comes to tourism and the entertainment part of it. Yeah. These were the, I don't know what's the best term to use. I don't want to use to say prostitutes. Sex workers. Yeah, let's just call it sex workers. Yeah, sex workers. Yes. Now, the question is, for the both presentations, have you considered in your scheme of things how you are going to accommodate this segment of our society? Whether there will be red zones, you know, in Germany they call them red zones. Yeah. This issue was once raised in our caucus, but it was not entertained, you know. Yeah. Whether you have considered that.
Thank you.
Because it's very important. We can't run away from it forever.
Thank you. Thank you, Ted. Cora?
The issue was raised by a comrade from Northwest.
Yes.
Comrade Chair, I think the first part comrade is touched on in these percentages of women in 2010 project. Now, youth is 39% and female 5%. I'm sure I was outside at that point in time. But I'd like to be made what deform this figure, because if you look at the youth, they are the most unemployed people. And why are they not taking up in these things? The same applies to women.
You're speaking about the slide that we are having of the last quarter.
Was this not last quarter?
Because that was asked, the answer was, no, Chairperson, this is about the quarter. And then therefore, the total...
It's
not the total figure. The total figure is coming with clear breakdowns of women, men, disability, young people, and all those things.
My apologies.
Can Forish go away with your phone next to me? Okay. Switch it off because mine is off.
My apologies.
Okay.
The other issue, you know, on Sunday, Comrade Jeff was on Asikulume with the president of Santac or something like that. I see that there is a good interaction, but when I was listening there, that interaction is not happening at a national level. And even at a local level, it's not as inclusive. I want to understand what is the situation there in the city of Johannesburg. Yes. Because to me, this thing is a real, real threat in these people. You know, last week, if it were not for the police here in Cape Town to hijack them, they were coming in by trains just to make the town to get it to a standstill. So I think we really have to look at this thing and not take it light. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Bongi. Firstly, Lerat. The flood of the sex workers
and the Northwest. Have you taken that into consideration? Because we don't have a law in this country that deals with the issue of sex workers. But the fact is, they will be around there. It's something that has come to Rassendeck. How are you intending to deal with that? Because yes, the big conference took place in somewhere where in Johannesburg. All these things start in Johannesburg. Yes, ma'am.
My team and I were just having a conversation about that, and apparently we have put in CCTV cameras in those precincts to make sure that there's protection and safety for them. But yeah, they have been considered. We do have a huge
somebody comes there and stop with Mercedes-Benz, mm-hmm, and this girl jumps into the car and goes away. How do you protect him?
Well, there's reporting systems that go through. So if you have if the camera has got registration numbers of people, That's the person has to report what has happened, but you can't follow them all the way through to wherever they're going.
Okay.
But beyond that, I think critical, as you indicated, that there are no laws, but we acknowledge with this kind of event that you have quite a lot of flow of people who will use it as an opportunity to benefit. But they are registered brothel in Mahalis in Rustenburg.
Yeah.
Because it's a growing business whether we like it or not. But the safety is a critical part. And there's a street in Rustenburg that is called Haystack. And that's where they do their business. And we felt as the city working very close with SAPS to really have a monitoring mechanism of, you know, putting those CCTV cameras and having patrols, private people that are patrolling, that when these young people come and report, we can trace you and say, yeah, it was Matima driving his Mercedes-Benz and he has harassed this kid and opened a charge.
Okay. But Matima, he is compelled driving with Mercedes-Benz, and then I just see somebody crossing over the street and I literally leave. Now you're taking my car. And I had nothing to do with that, Matima. But all the same, it's okay. Hey, Bongi. Yeah, on all those questions, a conference.
MMC Nandima Chulakoza would help me with the difficult ones. Chair, I think your introduction was around the challenges that and the image crisis that we have through our flight carrier. I think it's a reality. We need to actually get out of that crisis very soon. And we don't make it as an external factor, but it is a reality. The fact that, and also the problem with the drug trafficking that has hit our country. That's Chair. One of the things that we keep on doing is to update that external factor slide, because it is an external factor that we need to look at.
I just want to check one thing, Bob. Mama Yatu. At the airport, the police that are at the airport, the traffic officers, are a Kurulen or are yours? I think it's a Kurulen. Now, I just want to check in beefing up this thing on the access to Boksburg, Benoni, and Pretoria, and all these things of the people that are coming out of Johannesburg when the plane left. Is there no way that probably, if they've missed those people in the airport, and then there is a way that you again mounting up a search of the vehicles that are coming, particularly when we are closer to, we're dealing with it, you rather delay people, but dealing with that truck and then stop it right at the airport there, and then, but I think it will be good if we can, as soon as we come back, interact with both Johannesburg and Ekurhuleni around really mounting up an irritating roadblock when you just leave the airport. So that it is, when they come in, there is no problem. But when they go out of the airport, I think it is a need for us so that at least things are easier and busier. Yeah. Okay, Sisbongi.
The other issue is the issue around the greening of the mine dump that was raised by the honourable member. I might have missed it, but the project of the mine dump is wholly funded by the mine house. We've actually put so much pressure that in the previous financial year they invested 5 million rand. In this financial year they're investing another 5 million rand. We are working with them in terms of the water, because that mine dump needs to be irrigated, and we're actually saying we can actually connect water from the what we refer to as brown water, which is not clean water, to help them with the irrigation. But also share that as part of the mine of the greening of the mine dams, they are also repairing their own pipes, because one of the biggest problems that you have is that their pipes in terms of the mine slum actually was leaking into the rivers. Thus they are actually repairing that. In terms of the shortfalls, I think we only have shortfall in Soccer City. The other projects we are comfortable with, and we are in discussion with the department. Chair, it's something that we are very much aware that it needs to be managed, and we are continuously trying to manage it. The issue, Chair, around the Joburg, which was raised by the member, the terminology of Joburg, we like it, MNC. And it's actually a branding exercise, Chair. You see that Gauteng has now come up with its brand. It starts here. And we believe that the two brands will actually be very powerful brands in the near future. It starts here. We are Joburg, by the World Class African City. Chair, the other point is the issue around the communicable disease and the manageable of the Vaal Dam in terms of the pollution of the Vaal Dam. Chair, I think not that we are not worried about the mine dam and about the Vaal River, but the water we drink in Joburg gets through the purification exercise that we are comfortable with. But the pollution of the mine dam of the Vaal River is something in terms of sustainability going forward we need to look at. We as a city take the responsibility of being one of the polluters of the Vaal River through our river streams. And if you'd appreciate, Chair, that one of the biggest rivers that contributes towards the Vaal River is the Klerksdorp River. Jeske goes to the Hartbeespoort Dam, but the Klerksdorp River goes from the inner city of Johannesburg into Soweto, into the lands area, and from the lands area right into the Vaal Dam. That's part of the work we are doing around the development of the Klerksdorp River, Chair, is to deal with our own contribution to the Vaal Dam. We are actually replacing old and disused pipes, sewer pipes that we're discharging in our own rivers, so that we can at least do our corporate or our own role in that pollution. We're also trying to deal with the pollution that comes from the informal settlements. You saw the picture that I showed of the Klerksdorp River. There are a number of informal settlements along the Klerksdorp River, and one of the areas of the development of the Klerksdorp River is to actually try and remove the informal settlements. Chair, it's not something that will be done overnight, but we believe that as a city we need to contribute, because we are upstream, the river is downstream, we need to contribute towards that river. And some of this work that we are doing would actually alleviate the challenges that are being faced by the Vaal Dam. We're investing quite a lot of money. This project goes into 150 million rands, and we believe that if the Klerksdorp River can be rehabilitated, the benefits would be seen long term. Chair, the other part of the pollutants come from the mine dumps, and we believe that by this project of the greening of the mine dump would have dealt with it. It's not the only thing. As part of the testing of our water on a monthly basis, we test the alkali in the water, we test the pollutions that go into the water, but we believe, Chair, that as the main polluters of the river streams in the city, we need to be responsible citizens. Chair, if I can then move into the next part, which is the BRT, and the MMC would also contribute in this. I think, Chair, the Mayor is taking a personal responsibility around engaging with the taxi industry. You'd appreciate, Chair, that before the breakout up of the violence and the conflict in the Cape and in PE, we as the City of Johannesburg had already signed a memorandum of agreement with two of our taxi associations that are operating in the City of Johannesburg. And it was a historic event for us because not in any other event have the two associations signed a single document. They, in the BRT project, had agreed to collaborate with the city and have signed this agreement. Chair, the challenge that we have is that now those agreements are now being undermined by the national associations, and our mayor is prepared to engage, and we really appreciate the work that the minister at national level is doing in this industry. Chair, we believe that the industry must allow a transformation for their own good and for the good of the citizens of Johannesburg. We cannot afford to be extending the growth or developing our freeways. We have to actually come to a stage whereby we say, how do we have a free public and a sustainable public system, transport system, that would also benefit the industry. We believe that, and we've at the City of Johannesburg done our own cost-benefit analysis of the BRT, and we believe that in the long term, the taxi industry would benefit. It's only that in the short term, people who are used to a daily income would actually not see that benefit. But after 5-7 months, we believe that they will start seeing the benefit of a deposit in their bank account, and they would actually start being lucrative. The only negative part of it is that they would also be paying tax, which is one thing that they've not done in the past years, because they actually have been collecting directly into their pockets and into their mattresses. Chair, can I request, Chair, that in terms of the disaster management, in our next presentation, and if we could, through the department, we can actually send a document that's to say how do we manage the disaster management challenge that the portfolio committee has raised. The city takes full responsibility of its responsibility around disaster management, but it's actually the integration between ourselves and the province that we are working on. Thus, Chair, if you allow us, would actually come back with a full presentation, and we can also give you the plans that we are doing in terms of the disaster management. The Honourable Minister of Local Government, whose competency this is also very, very much on our toes to say, please show us how you are dealing with disaster management.
I will give you the chance, Bungi, but the other thing that Honorable Sol is trying to link, there is a bill that is coming. It's called the Safety at Stadium. So that's a bill. It's linked to the disaster management by and large. So we might not talk about the disaster management now, but when we're dealing with that bill, for purposes of the 2010 World Cup, we must finish that bill. It must be an act for safety at stadiums, and therefore it's going to speak in harmony with the disaster management, and therefore would like to get the 2010 whole cities speak more on that. Ellis Park and all the rest of the other things that are not right.
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair.
Chair, just on the pollution of the rivers in Gauteng, comrade. The comrade here next to me was saying to me, the pollution will stop, or the pollution will be lessened only if Gauteng can accept that they are a river province, not a sea province. They can't behave as if those rivers are beaches. So they are a river province, not a sea province.
We know that. Chair, the issue around firefighters, we've since last year started capacitating our firefighters in terms of new equipment. We would like to have the honourable member sharing with us the concerns that were raised by the officers, so that we can deal with those concerns and going forward. Chair, the other thing that we've done, and you've seen one of my slides, is that we've increased or we've recruited new firefighters. Chair, the issue around firefighting, it's always a moot point, because until you have a fire, it's actually a dormant investment. Thus, you'd actually also hear people in finance saying, you know, these these fire engines are standing there sparkling, but they never get used. When you have a fire, then it actually becomes an equipment that you need. Cheremsah is in the west of Johannesburg. Is on Hendrik Potgieter Road.
Okay, thank you,
Chair. I think the point you are making around disabled people with disability is a real concern to us, and that is why we are pushing. It's something that we are pushing that it happens, not only in this project, but in all projects that we do with the city. And the people with disability must be given priority. Chair, I think we note what the honourable member has said, and one of the things that the political leadership of the city has said is that in these projects they've actually given us a scorecard. Thus, at the end of the projects, we must say, how have we performed in every of the KPIs they've set us? In terms of disability, how many people have we employed? That there is a number, I can't remember the number now, but there is a number that we must have created X amount of jobs that of disabled people in these projects. We should have employed X amount or contracted with X percentage of SMMEs. And when we report in that project, we'll also be able to give you that. This year we went with a study with Grant Thornton where we've actually evaluated all the projects that we've done, all the empowerment that we've created, and the number of jobs we've created. Chair Hillbro, it's a big challenge for the city of Johannesburg. It's part of our inner city, and we are doing a lot of work in it. Chair, we're very deliberate not to remove Ellis Park as one of the training venues or of the match venues in the World Cup, because one of the mayoral priorities in the city is to deal with the inner city. Now, Chair, it's unfortunate that we don't have a new hotel coming up in Hillbro, but you'd also know, Chair, that Ponte has been receiving some upgrading efforts from the private sector. It has gone to a slum now because into a slow move now because of international economic pressures, but there has been some work that has been done in that area. Chair, if we have another opportunity to come in here, we'll actually share with the honorable members the work we're doing in Hillbro and how we are actually readdressing the Hillbro area. Chair, we cannot neglect Hillbro because we know that all the guests that will be coming for the Confed Cup, in particular our African compatriots who would actually be staying in Europe. Chair, I want to leave some of these questions to the MMC, in particular the one around the industry. And Chair, just to re-emphasize the point around the Masikulume discussion, that we watch the program on Masikulume. In fact, our mayor's office had requested all of us in the project to watch it so that we can take the issues that were raised there. We actually are of the view that there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. We cannot undermine the threat that we always highlight, and we believe, Chair, that it is quite one way that we need to do to actually deal with that issue, to engage the stakeholders. There is no other way, Chair. You can't ignore them. You need to engage them. They can be the biggest embarrassment, and they can be the biggest partners in the hosting of the World Cup. Chair, the MC will talk about the industry that the honourable member has spoken about. Safe to say, but that as a 2010 office, we attended the conference. Two of my staff members went there and took notes. And we are looking at the outcomes of the conference and saying that it is still a criminal offence to prostitute in South Africa. Thus, we need to balance those needs with the reality of our country. Chair, it is still a crime. MNC, can I hand over?
Yes. Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Just to add, because I think Sibongile has covered quite a number of questions. I think, Chair, firstly, we need to really thank you with the advice that you've given and the recommendation around the South African Airways. And I think we would appreciate your facilitation of that meeting between Johannesburg and Ekurhuleni. But I also should say that already the JMPD are working together with Ekurhuleni Metropolis on quite a number of, on a number of areas. And I think this should be one of the critical areas in which we should work with them on. So I think we appreciate that recommendation, and I think we'd love to, you know, to work with yourself on that. When you come back, and you're correct, you will come back, Chair, and we wish you all the best. The other issue, Chair, I think you made mention of the strike, the JMPD strike. Just to reassure you, Honourable Chair members, that under the leadership of the mayor, we are actually managing this particular issue. And as you know, the strike did end. And as we speak now, there are negotiations, you know, talking around how do we then resolve all the issues and concerns that were raised by the unions. There is going to be an investigation of the allegations as soon as the unions agree on the terms of reference on what should be investigated. But I think it's a matter that we've taken seriously, and we hope that as police have gone back to work, they will continue to do their work. And if you visit Johannesburg and you have not been stopped by JMPD, consider yourself lucky. Otherwise, they're stopping, you know, all of us on a weekly basis. Chairperson, I think the issue on PWDs, people with disability, has been answered. And also just to emphasize that indeed, I mean, at the political leadership level, there is political will on this matter. Each and every report that we receive on a quarterly basis, whether it's on employment equity in the city, whether it's on EPWP projects in the city, on infrastructure development, etc., we ask a question, how are we doing in as far as employing people with disability? But not only on employment, but we also ask a question, how are we doing in terms of subcontractors owned by the people with disability? So the political leadership is taking this matter quite seriously, and on a quarterly basis we get reports, and we actually question you know, the lack of reaching of targets, because we are not doing well in terms of reaching the targets, but the commitment is there, the political will is there, and I think the administration has also begun to take this matter very, very seriously, and as such we see an improvement in as far as this is concerned. But I think that will be able to give you a full report in future, a year's report on how we are doing in as far as the whole financial year is concerned, and maybe in the past as well. We will also talk to the SMMEs, because there are SMMEs that are owned by people with disability, owned by young people, owned by the youth. So I think we agree with members, honourable members, that if the numbers are low, whether it's a quarter or a year, it's a situation that really needs to improve. And we agree that it's not acceptable. Chair, I think we take and note the issue that you have raised on the safety stadium bill, and of course I think as a city, working together with other cities around us and working together with SALGA, we will indeed engage with this bill when it comes, so that we make a meaningful contribution to the bill, because whole cities are directly involved in the preparation for the World Cup, but also looking specifically into the safety and security issues of our people as well as the fans coming from all over the world. Chair, yes, I think I agree with the members. The issue of the shortfall is worrying, and we as a city are also worried about that. But what we have said during our last budget, Lekhutla, we agree that indeed we should make a follow-up with those institutions we have applied funding for. We've applied for MIG, we've applied to the neighborhoods grant, and also most importantly, I think our MMC responsible finance will always say to us, let's not only look at the city or government for funding of the project, but let's look at the private sector as well. Let's ensure that the private sector plays a role. And we are happy to say, to repeat that indeed, some of the projects that Wongile has spoken about, your mining
dam project, we do have the private sector, the mining houses coming to party and funding some of the projects that we are basically doing. And we have said only when we are sure that we will not get funding can we prolong the project themselves. For example, she spoke about the indoor swimming pool in Orlando. We said that we are going to continue to raise funds for that. But if we see that indeed there is no funding, it can then be done later on after 2010. But we continue robustly to mobilize funding from the private sector. And I think they are coming to party in spite of the economic meltdown. Of course, they will focus on some of their priorities, and there will always be a challenge for them to look at external projects to assist us. But I think somehow we are receiving positive input. Chairperson, what else? I think the BRT Sibongile has really covered this question very well. Just in addition, that to ensure inclusiveness of stakeholders, we as a mayoral committee have established a steering committee. And the steering committee consists of the taxi owners, taxi role players and stakeholders from various parties within the city of Johannesburg. And at that steering committee level, they are able to discuss these issues and reach consensus on quite a number of events. And I must say that the MMC responsible for transport and the mayor indeed have done a lot of good work in ensuring that in Johannesburg there is harmony. Yes, you saw that there was a meeting in Jablani Amphitheater a few weeks ago. Of course, I mean, there will be people who are negative, even though there are positive steps that are being taken. There will be people who don't agree, you know, with the owners of taxis. So they have a right to air their views and to differ where they differ with the city of Johannesburg. But again, I think our MMC and the mayor have really handled the situation quite well, Chairperson. All right. I think we have covered the issue. The last one, basically, on the conference that happened in Hillbrow, indeed, we will engage with the reports that will come out of the conference so that we understand the context at which these issues were decided upon. But also just to add that I thought that maybe the National Parliament would assist us by coming up with a bill. I'm not sure, I stand to be corrected. A bill that will really clarify these issues and give us guidance at the local level, in particular as host cities, as to how should we really manage these issues. And I've heard that indeed the chairperson was saying that it's treated as criminal offence. But I think up until we get some national guidance on the matter, we can therefore be able also to engage on the issue. And when that bill comes on this issue, we'll be able to engage and give provide a contribution to that. Because indeed, we are not like Netherlands. We don't have a red light or a blue light district. Because it's not only a red light, there's also a blue light district where women are able to also engage on this particular sector. Chair, I think just to emphasize on the social economic benefits to our people, as a city generally, we have set a target of 75% on BBBEE contribution to our communities. And as we speak now, I think the city has surpassed this target, and we are at the level of 80% in terms of BEE. But we want to break down and really find out as to where are the young people in this situation, where are the women, where are the disabled, etc. And I believe that in the next report that we will provide you, we'll be able to give you a much more improved breakdown on BBBEE as well as these targeted sectors that we have spoken about. Chairperson, thank you very much. I think we have covered
thank you.
The issues.
Thank you very much, the city of Johannesburg. You are a city, you are a sea. Thank you very much. Both the Rustenburg and the city of Johannesburg, I think members of the Sports Portfolio Committee do not want to leave the people of this country in dark
and probably having a doubt of the new regime that is going to come, and therefore we just summarily go away and do not say, is the country, are our municipalities, whole cities ready for the 2010 outcome? But I want to share with you that it is greatly humbling and exciting that in a committee that we belong to, there is no dissenting views of the multi-party members in the committee around South Africa deserve to have the 2010 and the Confederation. It is time for Africa, all of us, we are singing that song. And I want to tell you, there's not even a single, maybe the new political parties that are coming, I don't know. But those that are serving with us, not even a single one doesn't say, I think South Africa deserves the chance, and let us go and display our ability to the nations of the world so that at least when they leave South Africa, they must be able to come back and invest. So the two cities that we've interacted with, before tomorrow we communicate to the people of South Africa in our press conference, is that we are happy that you are ready. We can have the Confederation in Johannesburg now, in Rustenburg at any time. And then, so we want to hear when Mangaung arrive and all that. In any event, the Confederation is not a new thing to South Africa. It's just that we are just upping up the standard to meet the World Cup standard. But in as far as the Confederation is concerned, it's given. You could have even hosted it without these major upgrades that we are doing. I want to, I say, Mama Yatulema, just send me a one page. That I want to know, both you and Rustenburg, what is the input of the provincial government to the bigger scheme of events? Because in many instances, provinces are folding their arms and then it becomes a baby of a municipality or a whole city. But that is not what it is, an agreement at national level and also at provincial level. Is that the province, the whole cities are in the province. And therefore, the provincial legislatures and provincial government must make an input there, because the lifting of that investment, it is not only for the benefit of a municipality or health city, but is a benefit for the country and that province in particular. So I would like to hear that, because others have contributed. We want to engage directly with these provinces. What is their percentage that they have contributed in as far as making the World Cup to be a realization of all of us? So both you and Rustenburg would like to get that percentage. What is it? The second thing, both Rustenburg and the Johannesburg city, although I'm going to get that fly, you see, the issue of persons with disability, it is not just a by the way thing to us. It is a matter of a human right. It's a right for those people also to participate in the economy of this country, directly or indirectly. They have a right to be employed. So we must not just sort of trying not to be upfront like any other statistics that we're giving. If women can vouch for the 50-50%, and they forget that there are other women who are also the breadwinner, they feed their children and they have disability, then it is not doing justice to the plight of women, that they raise a plight of women, they forget about other women who are more or less the same as theirs, but they have their any disability. I do not think that is correct. On the employment, we need to get it clear. It's a commitment of this country around those people. On the economy participation, we have to be clear about that, we understand. We cannot spend this a big amount of money, and we don't even say, at least throughout the country, 5% of those people who were deliberate as Umaya Tula and the mayor, but this one, we are not going to bow. This is a set aside that we are deliberately giving to persons with disability. And that is the kind of an approach that we should have. Even the building of those stadiums, Mama, yes. When we were in Germany and France and Korea and all that,
there was a catering of persons with disability on their wheelchairs to be part of the World Cup. And I hope also that kind of a situation also prevails in all those stadiums so that at least they must also be able to. There are other corporates in South Africa that are going to give them tickets that they must go and be part of the World Cup. We cannot say they must not be part of the World Cup because they cannot have an accessibility to those facilities. In any event, those facilities are all South African facilities and not for a particular sector of the people. The 30% memorandum, that is the broader cake by FIFA on agreement with us in trade and industry. We want to know, when you send us a flyer, have you benefited out of that 30%? And then what was your percentage that you benefited out, or how did you benefit out of that 30%? Because time and again they speak about in the total money that FIFA has brought into this country, we have deliberately put aside 30%. But we want to say, but that 30%, who has benefited? Because Gauteng was here. They didn't give us a breakdown of whether they benefited out of that 30%. And Rustenburg was here. They didn't. If they did, then we must be able to say, here's a place we have seen. But we have not done more, but at least it is pleasing that it's something that we have done. The last thorny thing, Royal Bafokeng, we are not part of it. But the city of Johannesburg, you are part of this one. Mama, the Ellis Park, the Soccer City, the Orlando Stadium and all that, I want you to give me in that fly, who owns those stadiums? Because our view as government in pumping that money there in those stadiums belongs to you as a municipality. They don't belong to anybody else. And this thing of leasing these stadiums to rugby teams and that they are arrogant and all the chaos that is going on in the country, we want to stop that thing. So that the Soccer City cannot be a stadium for a particular person. It must be owned by the city of Johannesburg. The Ellis Park cannot be a private property of some other people. We put in a lot of money there to upgrade a private property of anybody. So all of us who could have gone somewhere and go and build a stadium and say, government, upgrade our own city. So we must know about the Ellis Park. We must know about Soccer City. We must know about all the other stadiums that are there in your city. Who owns those stadiums? Because we have an assumption and we have an understanding that those stadiums belong to municipalities. And how do you deal with them around the rugby and the football? It is your own baby. But finally, the person who's going to feed a bit of weight on those things becomes a municipality. It cannot be any other thing else except the municipality on those stadiums. And it's a very thorny thing, but we are ready to take it when we come back. Because in Johannesburg, it's not been a problem. It's a problem in Mpumalanga. It is becoming a problem in Nelson Mandela. And it cannot be a problem anywhere else when those stadiums belong to municipalities. It can never be a problem. In the country, when we hold the 2010 World Cup, the essence was that the South African Football Association was supposed to host the 2010 World Cup, not government. Like in any other country. Germany was the German Football Association. In Korea was the Korean Football Association. In France was the French Football Association. In South Africa it's not the case because the teams here do not own the stadiums. And they cannot own the stadium at the expense of government. Government must build facilities and they come camp over and take them over. If you give them, you give them on a clear memorandum of understanding and terms of reference which has been agreed by you. But the person who's got a veto weight on the stadium becomes a municipality, nobody else. So I would enjoy that we must get that kind of a flyer, but I would like to say at least we'll finish Lerato early on time at half past two. You can be able to run to the airport. But thanks, Mama Yatule and Bongi, and that Kilebile Hotel Khoshitaka. We would wish to see we will see you at the Real Bafokeng Stadium, Kanakwe celebration. By the way, we are going to spread ourselves as members of this committee to see all these things that you promised us, the African festival and all that. If we see something that we don't know, that hey, haven't our sister go Naziga, kick it dry, got about to see a good African World Cup by a celebration. But thank you very much for coming, and I think we'll be communicating the last message tomorrow about our readiness to host the Confederation. We are ready, more ready than 2 months ago, because we can do it now. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you. Thanks, Rob Lucas. And tomorrow we'll just be finalizing the SABC so that the public viewing areas, we analyze that, we conclude, and so that you must understand what is their relationship with the public viewing areas in municipalities, and whether are they discussing with municipalities around the public viewing areas. And the meeting is at E249 tomorrow morning at 10. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm going to have